This week's episode of Playing in the Clitterbox will not be seen and will return next week. Stay tuned as WSWN brings you the following live presentation of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast.
Wizards Podcast is intended for entertainment purposes only. Opinions expressed by the host and guest are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the podcast or its affiliates. Content may include adult language or themes and is not suitable for all audiences. Viewer and listener discretion is advised.
The following is a presentation of the Shining Wizards Network, broadcasting live in high-definition video and available on all podcasting and streaming platforms. Follow us on social media at Wizards Podcast. Check out our merchandise at merch.shiningwizards.com. Do your Amazon shopping at amazon.shiningwizards.com. And become a Patreon supporter at patreon.com/wizardspodcast. And now, it's time for the Shining Wizards.
I am the greatest masked wrestler in the history of Lucha Libre. And you are watching the Shining Wizards. No job, amigo.
All right. Sorry for those who tuned in for this week's episode of the Clitterbox, but we told them no job for you this week. But we got episode 786 of the Shining Wizards podcast this week. Tonight, we have Jim Fannin from IWA Mid-South fame talking all fun facts from the Mid-South days. I imagine it'll be crazy. Plus, we got breaking news from the WWE. CM Punk is old. Also, some AEW talk, GCW, blind rankings, homework, and so much more. So let's get into it with some wrestling talk.
And talk about wrestling.
Brundo.
A double T.
And some Kevin.
Brundo, good to have you back because I fucking fumbled the open last week.
I like what you said where I fumble it too. I write it down, but I just can't get it out. It's so fucking true.
I should have written it down.
I mean, even when I wrote it down, like, I suck sometimes.
Nice to have you back, Brundo.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
Handsome Kevin, how are you?
I'm great, man. I'm great. I miss Tony.
You miss Tony already?
I miss Tony already. Yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, I told you before the show, but I guess the people need to know. Tony's not with us tonight because work is busy. He will also not be with us next week because he'll be down in Florida. He won't be doing karaoke at Hogan's Hangout. I think he's on the other side of Florida, but he's going for a well-needed vacation.
Yeah. Yeah, and I already miss him. It's going to be a rough 2 weeks.
Wizards 3 is really like I was out that week. Then HK was sick. Then Brundo was out last week. 2 weeks, no Tony. Yeah. And then when Tony comes back, no Brundo fly.
Yep. Well, just like my wife said, she had the bathroom all to herself last week. Nobody hopping into shit while she was in the shower. Whoops. And no limoncello.
You're right, Tony. I dunk biscuits. No limoncello Tony.
I wonder if I got limoncello laying around.
I mean, do you miss him that much, really?
You know, yeah. He's my bro.
Okay. Now I know you both were probably. I was super duper taken aback by it last night. Tony texting after 10 p.m. on a Sunday.
I was asleep.
Blew my mind.
I was not around to see it. I saw it this morning when I woke up about 2:45. Yeah.
Yeah, I was asleep pretty early last night. I woke up. I'm like, why the fuck do I have 16 texts?
That's what fucked with me too. Like, I wake up. It is. It's like 2:45. I get out of bed. I look at my phone. I was like, 16 texts. Somebody fucking dead. Did the death pool get enough? What the fuck is going on?
Yeah, his I don't know, man. I still can't, like, just when I think I have Tony figured out, he throws me a curveball.
Was it the bro stuff?
Yeah, it is. Like, where's the line for him, right?
Well, but there's no connection, right? There's a connection with your bros.
Not enough to touch their ding-dongs.
Depending on the situation.
I can't think of a single situation where I'd be like, I gotta grab his dick.
You never cup checked anyone?
Hmm.
That's a smack, though. That's not a grab. Like, Tony's, I think when Tony says bro stuff, he's thinking a mouth on a cock.
Okay. Or a hand? Like a firm grip.
Yeah, like a cup check is, that's just your, it's like a snap. Yes, you know, you're not Mickey Knuckles Big Vetoing, right? Or Dolph Ziggler, which was fucking, I didn't know I needed something until I watched that. It was amazing.
That was unbelievable. That was everything I thought it would be and more. That's the only thing in JCW I watched this week.
It's the best wrestling match I saw all week.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Bro, Nick Nemeth couldn't keep a fucking straight face. It was fucking hysterical.
It was so fucking good. Yeah, I kind of wish they had more of like two counts too. Like they'd roll one, two, Nemeth rolls on top, one, two, vice versa and all. But
yeah,
it was still a masterpiece.
No, Al, no white knucklers for me. I love you guys, right? You're my brothers. You're my family. 100%. I'm never, ever going to touch your dick. Ever. If you're going to die and I have to touch your dick, sayonara, buddy.
I don't believe that.
All right, then.
I 100% do not believe that. Because I do believe we're at the tattoo shop when KT was explaining how they do the rolling pin. And I'm pretty sure you placed both hands on top of my crotch.
Well, how did we not get this story?
Yeah. That is also on top of the pants, though.
Okay, so if I drop my drawers, that wouldn't have happened. Okay.
Nope.
Okay, now let me ask you. So if, say I'm cliffside, right?
The fuck does that mean?
I'm on the side of a cliff, right? And I could be falling, and the only thing that you could grab onto is like my erection. You're gonna grab? You're gonna save me?
Why would you have an erection?
Because fear turns me on.
Nope.
I have a feeling we'd have a better job holding your giant nuts at that point.
Well, there you go. What about that?
Back over around.
We're not on the crank anymore. You're grabbing my long nuts.
I'm sorry. I'm not grabbing any of you guys by your dick and balls. Okay. It's just not happening.
To save a life.
Yeah.
That's just, that's perverse, man. I would happily grab your dick and your balls to save your life.
All right, Matt, it's up for debate then. You're a better man than me? ?
If it took it, I'd grab it with my teeth, right? Just to save your life, because you're my buddy.
Here's the thing, though. There's what situation does someone need to be grabbed by the dick and balls?
What if it's like in the Saw movie, right? You know, they put in like those weird situations. Like, that could be a thing, right? We're in the Saw movie, and you gotta grab.
You go to the same fucking restaurant every Friday night. You do the same thing every week. There is no situation where you would be outside your comfort zone for that to happen. Unless they drugged you at Rancho Loco and the little guy on the tricycle drove away with you.
Listen to Tots this week. HK tried a different restaurant.
Now they can run a fly.
He's going back to Rancho Loco.
I don't blame him. After that, I do not blame him. Rancho Loco is not running out of fucking chicken.
Now, Brundlefly, what about you, man? Would you grab long nuts, crank, to save a brother's life?
Yeah, absolutely.
Of course you would.
Yeah.
I can answer for Tony on this one. He 100% would. Are you that scared? What is it, Double T? You think you might like it?
I'm not scared. I'm just not great. There's going to be a situation.
But if there is.
I was like, Tony, would you? And he was like, no, that's gay. Well, no. So, like, where's the line?
He would.
I would.
Line you just said.
What? Giselle Shaw, Sonny Kiss? Line them up. I'm in.
Just going to knock them off?
Nyla Rose? Yeah, I don't give a shit.
You don't give a shit.
They're ladies now. Who cares? Let's move it out of the way. Get out of
what
here.
If they're not? What if it's a partial?
Oh, what do you mean like a partial? I like mean, if it's know, there, but it's like a dead plant?
Yeah, like, you know, they added up top, but they didn't remove down low.
Yeah, yeah. That'd be like, oh. Tony's in the chat.
That'll be like the crime.
Did you watch on fucking Facebook or
fucking YouTube, awesome.
Dude? We're trying to get the 600 subscribers on YouTube. Get through on YouTube.
He's doing research.
Fucking Facebook, doesn't he? I don't even fucking Facebook. Yeah, like, is it like a dead plant? I don't know how that works.
I think they get rid of it usually.
Like a skin tag just hanging there until like it falls off.
I hope they got more than a skin tag.
What's the deal? What's going on there?
What's the deal with skin tag?
It's like a banana that's way overripe.
Right. At my age, yeah.
Oh fuck, you're younger than I am. I'm fucked.
Oh, what are you bragging? You got green bananas all of a sudden down there, Brundlefly.
Well, when I'm falling off a cliff, you'll find out.
Yes, I will. Head first.
Also, like, how often are you guys hanging out on cliffs?
The last time I was at a cliff was with you, Double T.
Yeah, but there's a fucking wall there. Like, you got to go over the wall to end up on the cliff.
That's true. I mean, I'm pretty sure we caught a charge walking around, too.
Yeah, checks out.
Yeah. That was fun, though. Look over, guy's getting a Hummer. It's a great spot, man.
That's what goes on at Eagle Rock Reservation.
Place whales.
Oh, man. All right, so you guys are doing good?
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. How you JD? Doing, Double T?
I'm great. I'm in full fucking, I'm ready for baseball season. Yeah. We went to I went to BJ's this morning. We went to ShopRite yesterday. All the crock pots are out. I'm ready. I'm going to eat so many fucking hot dogs. It's going to be disgusting. Hot dogs, nachos, peanuts.
You're going to eat like three.
You're out of your fucking mind.
You're going to eat like three. We're back to the whole hot dog thing. You said before you couldn't even take down like nine or whatever the fuck it was.
I was down by like 18 games, dude. I can't eat 18 hot dogs in 2 hours.
But could
that's like that, the course?
Go ahead, Brother Fly.
Oh, I was gonna say that's like that challenge that they have at certain ball fields now. What was it? Yeah, 9 innings, 9 dogs, 9 beers.
So over the course of opening day, Double T, are you taking down 18?
Probably not 18, but I'll probably do like 10.
I want to count.
Okay. Because I'll be doing nachos too. I'll have some peanuts. I brought cookies. Aunt Money. Aunt Money's gonna bring sweet treats.
Sound like you're showing up for a sleepover. I brought cookies.
Opening day, you got a baseball food, man. Peanuts, popcorn, Cracker Jacks, cookies, pretzels. You got a sweet treat.
All right. I didn't know.
Right? I'm not buying a fucking soft serve ice cream machine to make, and then I get my balls busted on here when people find out I have a soft serve ice cream machine. Forget about it.
You would need the helmets to put it in.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We get it for real.
But I'm great, man. I went and picked my boss had a fucking TV stand and a TV he gave to me to use for opening day. So I set that up. No veggie platter, Al. What the fuck?
Yeah, veggie platter.
Nah, for opening day, no. No, no, no. I also don't drink beer, so I don't think I could do the 999.
Mm. What about a cider?
Yeah, but the baseball games are so quick now. Like,
yeah, they're pretty quick.
Yeah.
What do
yeah.
I get for that? Heartburn, diarrhea? Like, I'm not going to feel good about myself. I want to enjoy it. I don't need to be fucking double fucking hot dog in fifth inning because fucking the fucking they just blew through an inning in like 7 minutes.
Fucking double T is shitting in one of those little helmets with the ice cream in it.
The real challenge would do that during a Greg Maddux game.
Yeah, like you want to go for it. Go for the. It's just not my cup of tea, man. But I'm great. I'm great. I watched JCW today. I watched Homework. I watched AEW. I caught. Let's talk about this. Oh, two things. It's we're gonna go into the realm of WWE before JJ Dillon joins us. Okay, what's his name?
JJ Dillon.
JJ Fannin.
Fannin, yeah.
I gotta know where the other J comes from.
He's just Jim Fannin.
Right. So how did he become JJ?
Is he JJ?
That's what it says right on his Twitter.
Oh shit!
This is your guy, Brundle Fly.
Yeah.
You're fucking.
Well, fuck me then.
I'm taking a powder.
I say back here if you need me.
Denta might show up. Fergal. I heard. Now I haven't played a WWE 2K game since CM Punk was on the cover. I heard the new game is fucking horrendous. From a playability standpoint, and the fact that you're paying like the Monday Night War edition, you're paying $150 for it.
Jesus.
Under the guise that you will be getting all these characters, only to find out when you log in that you don't get like Stone Cold Steve Austin or the NWO. You have to unlock all these guys. And if you don't want to put in the hundreds of hours it takes to unlock all these playable characters, you have to pay more to like get a fast pass to skip all those levels.
Awful.
It's been
fucking bad.
It's been years since I've bought a WWE game. I used to really enjoy getting them. I would buy them pretty much like every 2 years, right? Every 2 years I get a new one and I'd play it, but I never got like that much playing time out of it to make it worth it to me to get one. And like this one, I thought about it. You know, it's been years since I've got one. I'll give it a whirl. But then I thought about it. I was like, why? I get no fucking mileage out of it. And I barely have time to play video games at this point in my life. So like there's no fucking reason for me to. It looks fun. And I haven't been keeping up on like the reviews of it or anything like that. But it looks fucking fun.
Look, the graphics, everything great. But like I hear the gameplay is awful.
It cannot be worse than AEW's
game. No, man. Hey, look, AEW, I liked AEW because it was very simple. A was to grapple, and then you hit a couple buttons. Like, I heard people are like, you got to right stick up, B, just to, like, throw somebody into the ropes, and you can't jump. You can't climb to the top rope from the outside on the ring apron. Like a lot of weird, like, just like there's like a reversal thing, but if you don't hit the button on time, then
you got to get like a Mortal Kombat fucking fatality finisher to all the button combinations to grab a headlock.
I wish like WWE would use whatever AEW used in terms of like the THQ or Yaki or whatever that for like No Mercy and WCW NWO Revenge. Like those were the best.
Yeah.
Those are so simple. Hit a button, mash a couple buttons, make a move. One button to fucking Irish whip somebody, one button to reverse, like one button to get in and out of the ring, like very fucking simple. Mm-hmm. Like this is like, I hear it's a nightmare, and I'm not plopping down any amount of money for this because I have zero interest in it.
Yeah. Do you think it's just the fact that like we've reached the age where we need it more, like less complex? Like, is that where we're at now? You know what I mean? Because like when those games came out, we had the like they were a little bit more complex than the precursor. So like, is it now we've reached that age where like, nah, this is too. Get me back the NES. Give me the two button system.
It's. I mean, I feel like the 64 games or the original PlayStation games. They weren't. There was a lot of buttons there. They weren't that complex. Even, I think 2K24 was the last one I played. That wasn't terrible. Like my son was able to figure out how to use all the buttons and kick the crap out of me.
Yeah.
Like it's just a wrestling game. Like I think like there should be a lockup button and a grapple button and a reversal button and like left.
Lock up. Yep. You hit B to throw him to the ropes. A to do a pile driver. C, or L to do something else. Yeah.
Like, why do I have to hit, like, this six-button combination to do, like, a fucking German suplex?
But do you? Like, you haven't played it yet, so you don't know
for sure. I haven't. But I've heard.
Yeah.
I've heard people can't even get through the fucking tutorial.
Do you remember the fucking WrestleMania challenge game on NES? Where you fucking, if you accidentally jumped out of the ring, you fucking couldn't get back in the ring. Do you remember this at all?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. And then you fucking lose. You're like, oh man, now that was aggravating. Talk about aggravation in a video game. You got two fucking buttons and you accidentally jump out of the ring. You can't get back in. That was trouble.
Yeah, and then, like, to, like, put it at, like, if I drop, you tell me this is the Monday Night Wars edition, I put down 150, I'm expecting to open that fucking game, get through the tutorial, and be able to pick anybody from the Monday Night era. And what they do as a fuck you is have those characters in the, you know, you can select them, right? They're on the screen, but when you go gloss over them or you put your cursor on them or whatever, locked.
Locked. Is it part of like a storyline mode that you unlock them?
I think you have to achieve a certain amount of levels, but it's not like, oh, win like three matches in a row. Like, from what I've read and what I've heard in reviews, it's like hundreds of hours.
Okay.
Because if you're dropping 150, you should have them right away.
Right. And I think that's the idea, right? The idea is like, oh, if I'm paying for it, I'm under the, because there was no, you know, clear guidelines as to what you got. You were under the assumption when you got the Monday Night Wars edition, you got the fucking guys on the cover of the goddamn video game.
Yeah. You should be able to do like a start a Monday Night Wars, you know, after the tutorial, whatever they would call it, like a quest or whatever.
Right.
That's what that should be. You're paying that much money.
Well, and that's where, like, where my head goes. Like, is it in a quest where, like, you unlock them as you go? Because was it WrestleMania 2000 or was it No Mercy where they had, like, you played through the different storylines and you would unlock people along the way? Because if it's like that, I don't give a shit. Play the fucking story mode and unlock the guys.
If you paid $150 for that edition and then you turned it on and you had to play story mode to get all these guys, then what did you pay double
that's
for?
That's what we fucking had to do, Double T. We had to play story mode to unlock these motherfuckers.
Yeah, but it wasn't $150. Right? You paid your $40, $50 for the game.
It was like $80.
No,
it was like $80.
WrestleMania 2000? No.
On the 64?
Yeah, no, that couldn't have been $80.
$60.
No. Yeah, okay, well then adjusted for inflation, right?
Okay, but if I buy the most fucking basic version there is,
yes,
and you pay double for the Monday Night Wars edition and we both have the same fucking characters, aren't you like, what the fuck did I just pay for?
Yeah, that would be a question I would have.
Yeah. And it didn't take hundreds of hours to unlock guys in 2000. Also, you'll probably do it in like a couple of days, if that.
Yeah, you turn it on, you fucking play, like you're good to go. Like all this other, you got to go through the fucking tutorials.
MB knows what's going on. He says there's characters locked in the story mode, and there's characters locked in like a Fortnite-style battle pass. You got to earn points. See, a little bit of both.
Not if I paid fucking $150.
Yeah, I pay $150.
Not with it.
Not with it. Now, when is it like, so say in 3 months, it's $40. You pulled the trigger?
No,
$30 pulling the trigger.
Dude, I think in a couple months, it'll be free in the fucking. People, hey, look, we follow our friends over at Marking Out, and they usually pop in the chat. I know he's a gamer. Like, all the, like, since the game came out, every day he's tweeting at them that there's something wrong with something. Like, it's every fucking time with the WWE games.
Yes. I specifically remember that the last couple of games that come out, like, there were so many glitches, like, right away.
Yeah. I haven't had one in a while.
Yeah, me too.
I want to be, like, even with, like, AEW was dumb.
It was right? fucking miserable.
But the playability where I can just, I knew like if I hit A and I hit B and left directional, I can hit a suplex if I win the grapple. Like, I want that. I don't want to make all these fucking combos. Get my meter up and then let me smash it with a finisher.
Right, right.
Let then me get go data. Go date Aubrey Everts.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Challenge me to a match at the airport baggage claim. I'm a vegan.
The storyline mode was fucking horrendous. Absolutely.
But at least you didn't have to pay an extra $100 for it.
Hey, I bought the Supreme Edition, whatever the fuck they called it.
Did you?
Oh, yeah.
What did it get you?
I have no fucking aggravated.
Were you aggravated that of the because the story mode was horrendous? Like, you could, it was fun to play, right?
I did not have that much fun playing that video game. Okay. I really didn't like, I would much rather play, you know, do some shooting with my buddies or fucking some football, man. But yeah, no, that was tough, man. It was just tough. Like playing through, and like, I liked creating your own guy was not very fun. Like the customizable options, they weren't all there. I don't know. And like everybody thought like, oh, the cool thing is just going to keep on adding to it and adding to it. And then they find out that there's like 60 fucking people playing the game worldwide at any given time. Like, I probably won't be adding to it.
They had a guy. There's DLC for that, wasn't there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know. I know because I paid for the fucking Supreme Blow Me Edition and I get all of it for free when it comes out. Woohoo! Woohoo! Pin a dick in my ass.
Thank you, Jesse Wolf.
Yes,
thank Wolf. You, indeed, there was something else in the WWE universe that I wanted to talk. Oh, but JJ is going to be here any minute now, so I will, because I put Raw on last week after we finished the show while I was processing everything. Yeah, I just we're gonna put a pin in that. And we're going to bring in our guest, and then when we're done with Jim, we'll talk some more WWE. I'm not touching shit.
Mr. Fannin, welcome aboard.
Thanks for having me.
Cool.
That's the best you got, Brenda. This is all Brenda's.
No, I'm losing my voice. I'm sorry. Jim,
what's the great second fucking J timing. For?
Well, you get you come in, and this is the time of the year to lose your voice. You got the weather one day it's 20, the next day it's 70, then it's back to 30, and everybody where I'm here in Chicago, it's sinus infections galore going off.
I don't want that. Hey, well, Jim, what's the second J for? You're JJ. What's the second J?
So, funny story on that is Chris Candido, when he came in for IWA and was a member of the Fannin family back in 2004, 2005, when he came in, he always would just call me JJ. And he pictured us like the IWA's version of the Four Horsemen. He pictured himself as Ric Flair, so he pictured me as JJ Dillon. And he just called me JJ all the time. And I kind of liked that, so I, you know, stuck with it and used it. And then when Chris passed away and his brother was going through his phone making calls to people to let him know that Chris had passed, when he called me, he's like, I got to know, is this J.J. Dillon? And I was like, no, this is not J.J. Dillon. And he was like, man, every time he went to IWA, he would always talk about hanging out with JJ, and we thought that like Ian was bringing in JJ Dillon, and I was like, no, Ian wasn't springing for that budget, but you know, that was just what he called me. So ever since then, I've sort of just, you know, kept it. There was a couple of places I worked where there was a lot of Jims and James, and they were like, is there anything else that we can call you to differentiate between everybody? And I was like, oh, let's go with JJ. So something I've, you know, held on to and kept close to me all these years. So that's where the JJ comes from.
Nice.
So you're making the return. How long have you been out of the game for?
It's been 16 years. Oh, I left IWA in 2009, August of 2009. And, you know, I mentioned, you know, the passing of Chris Candido, and it was a passing of Mark Wolf. You know, I had just had him on the podcast, interviewed him right after Thanksgiving, and he ended up passing away right before Christmas. And, you know, when I had him on and was talking with him and just going over our memories of IWA, and, you know, he was telling me how much it pained him that his body had broken down, and you know, he was doing a lot of, he was helping people train in North Carolina, and he had like worked with Jackie Fargo over the years and Bobby Fulton, and was like helping train guys, and like his body just gave out, his back wouldn't allow it anymore, his knees and hips wouldn't allow it, and he was just telling me like how bad that hurt him, that, you know, he just couldn't do it anymore. And so after he passed, I started getting an idea of, you know, for the people like Chris and the people like Mark who, you know, loved this and it was their life and something that they, you know, wanted to do and gave their lives to, and that they had that taken away from them. And so I started talking to Nick Manoa, and I was like, do you think there's a place for me? Do you think anybody wants to see this? Is this crazy with as long as I've been gone? And he's like, well, it is crazy. He's like, but he's like, let's give it a, you know, give it a shot and put it out there that you're trying and see if anybody will bring you in. And yeah, you let their, you know, their memory can live on in me, and you know, I can do something that they wish that they had the, in, you know, I'm not a spring chicken anymore either with as long as I've been out. So, yeah, it was just something where I was like, if I'm going to do this, I gotta do it now kind of thing. Yeah. while I still can. And so I went ahead and put it out there. And so far I've got Black Label Pro and Wrestle Arts, both out of Indianapolis this coming weekend, that is going to give me a shot. And maybe that'll get my name back out there and some folks can see whether I still got it or not, or debate whether I even had it to begin with. And,
you know, go ahead, Double T.
Now, JJ, for those not familiar, you're a ring announcer, right? You're not, are you a worker as well in terms of
manager?
Okay.
So
you might be brand new to our audience, so, you know, a little backstory.
Yeah, it's
to what's going on with you.
Yeah, so for 12 years in IWA, I did everything. Started as a ring announcer, went to manager, had like 8 or 9 matches where I actually like had a tag match where I got pinned by Road Dogg, wrestled Dave Prazak in my first match. So, you know, not much in the way of being an actual wrestler, but I did over 400 shows in IWA. You know, I managed, had Chris Hero, CM Punk, Tracy Smothers, Chris Candido, managed against Dusty Rhodes and Terry Funk. So, you know, some people are telling me, oh, it's going to be like riding a bike and I'll be able to get back out there and pick it right back up. And we'll see how that goes, but definitely looking forward to this weekend.
So there's one match I specifically remember you having, and I can't imagine being across from a more intimidating guy. Cause I think it was one of the King of the Death matches where you got to wrestle Bull Payne. What was that like?
That was a fun time. Bull Payne, Mark Wolf, and myself, we actually were all working at the same Home Depot in Southern Indiana. There was a fan that came to all the shows and sat in the front row. He was the store manager, and everybody just called him Home Depot Mike. And so if you watch any of the early 2000 IWAs, you can see Home Depot Mike in a Hawaiian shirt sitting in the front row. And he was the store manager for this Home Depot. And so he hired Mark Wolf. He hired Bull Payne. He hired me. And we worked overnight shift. Bull Payne was in where he would receive everything and get it off the truck. And then me and Mark were part of the freight team that would put it out and stock it overnight. And so we were building up that match. And nobody at this, nobody that we worked with overnight thought that the match was going to happen. They're like, there's no way that you're going to wrestle him. And I just kept talking shit and going, you know, I've got this. And, you know, Mark Wolf would like try to give me training tips. And I lived like a mile away from the Home Depot. So every night I would go home for our lunch break and just eat at home and then come back. Well, I stopped doing that. I'd go out in the parking lot and do jumping jacks and sit-ups and do all these different calisthenics. And like the rest of the guys would come out like and do a smoke break, and they'd be watching Mark put me through all these drills out in the parking lot. And they were like, holy shit, he's actually going to do this. He's actually going to do this. And then like we would go get our stuff from receiving, and I'd start yelling at Bull, and then Mark would have to hold the two of us back, and we'd be cutting promos on each other. And so about five people ended up buying tickets to King of the Death to come out and watch that match. And so when the match didn't happen, and you know, Mitch Page and BJ Whitmer and Danny Daniels all come out and jump Bull Payne, they did not talk to me for 3 weeks at work after that. They were so mad because, you know, King of the Death matches were our most expensive ticket of the year. And they paid to come out and watch it. And they thought for sure that because I was doing the training and getting prepared, and think I'd even lost about 10 pounds to where they could notice that I had lost some weight. And they were so mad when that happened. But
you guys working at Home Depot to get that employee discount for your gimmicks?
No, we ended up getting discounts, but not because we worked there. Like anytime a door or something would come in and get damaged, you know, Home Depot Mike would write it off and then bring it to the show, and we could break a table, or you know, we got a bunch of like was drywall that wasn't pristine condition, so we got like a big discount on some slightly damaged drywall to put up on the wall. And because we would constantly in that Charlestown building in like 2001, 2002, we would constantly like throw people into the drywall and bust it, because then we would just get replacements from Home Depot Mike on the cheap. And, you know, so it was a good advantage. And, you know, I had been working at UPS because the big all of their air, anything that you send air, goes to Louisville, Kentucky to be sorted at their main hub there, and then gets sent back out. So I had worked there for 3 years, and this is how old I am. At the end of my third year, I was making $8.50 an hour working the UPS warehouse, and they had switched over to a new building, and they spent like $1 billion to build this new warehouse in Louisville, and they didn't test it before they opened it. And when they opened it, like it was supposed to be like all this big automation, and all these scanners would read the labels and take it right where it needed to go. And all we would have to do is grab it off the belt. And, you know, you wouldn't have to have all these pre-sorters and everything. Well, when they opened it up in July in Kentucky in a metal warehouse. So it's like 130 degrees in this warehouse. And so there's all these fans blowing so that we wouldn't die of, you know, heat stroke in there. But it was blowing dust around because it was just a big warehouse, and the dust was blocking the state-of-the-art billion-dollar scanners. So the belts would always turn off. And they would just like scream bloody murder that, you know, we weren't working fast enough. It's like, it's your equipment that you didn't test first, you know? So they had, so their solution at first was, well, we just won't have any fans going. So I'm like a 280 pound guy trying to work in this warehouse, and my red t-shirt would be white at the end of my shift from how much sweat I would have. And I would load my can, I'd push it out to the airplane, I'd stop and drink some water, and then I'd go back. And the supervisor, she was like an 85 pound woman, and she came up to me and she's like, "You're drinking too much water." And it's like, well, I'm sorry that I'm actually doing something while you're just standing here holding a clipboard. If I was 80 pounds and just holding a clipboard, I wouldn't have to drink so much water. And I was like, you know what? The hell with this. And so I quit. And then Home Depot Mike hired me at $10 an hour immediately to start at Home Depot. And I was like, well, that's a hell of a lot better gig for me. And he was like, but don't you tell anybody what I'm paying you. Because everybody else was making less than that, and I was like, well, you know, I kept a secret for 24 years, I guess. So
you got that 10 on the hush.
the evolution of independent wrestling fans. Home Depot Mike 20 years ago, and then there was like piss jug guy. I think I would much rather be Home Depot Mike.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. You have Jim, you have your fan-ins flashbacks. And it's on your YouTube channel. Give us a little bit about that podcast that you're doing now, going back through the IWA Mid-South archives there.
Yeah, so we're, you know, another one where I was talking with Nick Manoa, and it started when GCW put Mitch Page and Roland Hard into their Deathmatch Hall of Fame back in June. And that was like the first time I'd went to a wrestling thing in ages. But I had to be there to see Mitch and Roland, because I managed them when they first started teaming up, and managed them for Roland's last match. And I was like, I got to be there to support Roland. So then I ended up actually accepting the award on Roland's behalf, since he had passed away. And it made me start talking to Nick about, you know, my legacy. And, you know, nobody knows who I am. Nobody remembers me from that long ago. One of my buddies kept mentioning to me, he's like, oh, well, this guy you're on the show with, he's like a legend now. And you quit 3 years before he had his first match. And oh, this person on the show, they were 3 years old when you had your last appearance. And I was like, okay, I get it. I'm old. You don't need to keep rubbing it in, kind of thing. But, you know, I was just sitting there talking to Nick, and I'm like, what is there that I can do? Try to make sure that these, you know, there's so many of us from IWA at that time that are just forgotten now. There's so many fans that just don't remember and never watched it, never anything. And I was like, there's so many stories to be told. And we decided that, you know, I should do this podcast, just have some of the old IWA names that came up with me, just tell our stories, tell the fans some of the crazy shit that happened back then. And, you know, there's 5 million stories out there about Ian Rotten. 3 million of them are true. Some of them have a touch of truth to them. And, you know, let's tell these stories and, you know, 'cause we're starting to die off. Fans that were there, we've lost so many fans that used to be our regulars. And it's like, these stories are going to die with us if we don't tell them. So I started doing the flashbacks episodes. And at first I thought, if I can get 10 people to watch this, 10 people to listen to it, it's worth doing. And we've gotten to the point where several of the episodes have gotten over 500 views on YouTube. And that doesn't count like the Spotify and iHeart and everything else that we put it up on. So it's been a lot more successful than what I thought. We got not quite ready to announce it, but we've got a deal in place that will hopefully get more eyes onto the podcast. And, you know, it's been a lot of fun catching up. A lot of these guys I was on shows with for a decade and really never had any conversations with them. You know, it would just be hi, bye, and maybe talk over, like if you were actually in the match with them and, you know, getting to actually sit down and have conversations for the first time with Tarek the Great, an American kickboxer, and, you know, getting Mark onto the podcast before he passed away, and Chucky Smooth, and just like all these guys that have all these great stories to tell. And it's been so much fun to actually get to do that. Hopefully I'm supposed to record with Bull Payne tomorrow. I had him scheduled before, and he ended up having to cancel because of some health issues. And so I was like, Bull, you'd be the perfect guest to have on. We just did a tribute to Mark Wolf that came out on Friday. We release every Friday with a new episode. I was like, you would be the perfect guest because it was, you know, the BMFers versus Mark Wolf. That was the feud. It was like, so Bull had sent in a little thing that I read on the podcast for the tribute to Mark, but I was like, let's get you on this thing and let's do this. So we're going to try again tomorrow. I can't guarantee that it actually happens, because, you know, it's wrestling. I've had a lot of cancellations and had to squirm at the lat and try to dig things up. But, you know, the amount of guys that have reached out to me and been like, is there any way that you can get me on? And I'm like, well, you know, I've got a list. So there's a waiting list. We'll get to you. Your spot may come up sooner based on who ends up canceling at different times, but, you know, it's been a really good experience. I've been blown away by the positive feedback that it's gotten. And I had Nate Webb on the podcast. So then he invited me to go hang out with him when he came to Chicago for GCW just a couple weeks ago. So I went and hung out there, and four or five of the guys came up and were like, man, that episode, you know, when you said this on the episode, it reminded me of my interaction with, and it was, I was like, I just can't believe the amount of people that have actually tuned in and listened and want to be a part of it. So it's been a positive experience.
Well, I think there's a whole generation, right, of wrestling fans who grew up during that era where there was WWF, WWE, and then there was just the indies. I did not watch the IWA Mid-South growing up. I knew very little about it, but Brundo was like, look, man, IWA Mid-South, he was there during the Chris Hero, Colt Cabana, CM Punk. I'm sure he has tons of stories. Like, and that, you know, all those names, that shaped this generation of pro wrestlers, right? So, like, all these kids that grew up with this, like, they want this, right? We've got a fucking zillion podcasts with Bruce Pritchard and the fucking Undertaker and his dumb wife telling stories, right? But then, like, nobody's telling these IWA Mid-South stories. So, like, this is a breath of fresh air. This is stuff people want to hear about. You said a lot of people have reached out to you. Who's the most surprising person who's reached out and said they want to be a part of your show?
Well, they weren't the ones that reached out, but Nick had reached out, and the fact that Jimmy Jacobs came onto the podcast and we were screen to screen talking about me trying to kill him with the barbed wire bat. And, you know, there was some tense moments in that one. And that one's definitely one that I suggest people go, and like, it blew people's minds when that was announced. They were like, what, how did this happen? And, you know, there was very little talking beforehand. It was just, okay, I'll come on. And I didn't believe it until he popped up on the screen, and I was like, oh crap. And there was like a couple of times that we were like shouting at each other, and he got up and walked away at one point. I got up and walked away at one point. And Nick was just sitting there trying to be like the mediator between, like, going, what did I get myself into when he came up with this idea?
Had you talked to him since he threw the title in the trash back in the day, or?
Well, there was like 4 years that we feuded in IWA after that had happened. Because he came back right after it happened, and that was when I hit him with the barbed wire bat that to this day Smart Mark Video says it's like the sickest bat shot that they've seen. Because as I described it on, you know, Nick Manoa was like, okay, well, tell Jimmy Jacobs what was going through your mind as you reared back to, you know, hit him with that barbed wire bat. And he was like, and had you guys discussed this at all beforehand? It was like, there was no discussion. And, you know, when I did it, I told Jimmy Jacobs, I was like, there was a 60-40 split in my mind as to whether I was going to hit you in the head or whether I was going to hit you in the back. And the fact that my, you know, 85-year-old grandmother was still alive and wouldn't have been able to survive a murder trial of her grandson was like, so I the 40% won out, and, you know, you got it to the back instead of to the head. And he was like, well, thank you, grandma. And, you know, Manoa was like, well, what were you thinking at that point? And I was like, one of my favorite movies was The Program. And I don't know if you guys have ever watched that one, like a college football movie that came out in the 90s. And the middle linebacker in that movie, like one of his big quotes, like he would break the huddle and stuff. He'd be like, you know, hit the tight end so hard his girlfriend dies. Hit the quarterback so hard as his girlfriend dies. And I was like, so I was going to hit Jimmy Jacobs so hard that Danny Daniels died for for paying him to do it. And like Nick Mattawa was like, good Lord. And I was like, oh, I tried. And I was like, I knew I wasn't going to get Danny Daniels in the ring. So I had to hit Jimmy Jacobs hard enough that he felt it. And, you know, Jimmy went, like, after that happened, me and Jimmy were both off shows for quite a while. And then we came back like 8 months later at the TPI 2006 and ran an angle where both of us helped Josh Abercrombie beat Tyler Black in a loser leave town match. And we like shook hands and hugged in the ring. And I could hear people's heads exploding in the front row until I didn't let go of the hug. And I just held him in a bear hug. And Bull and Mitch came out and beat him down in the ring while like Josh cried and like, sorry, I had to do that, but I had to make sure I won and whatever kind of deal. And it led into, it was like I guess September 2006 to the day I quit in August of 2009, the feud was ongoing where I brought like the Barbarian in and Tracy Smothers and all these people in to try to collect a bounty against him and different things. So like we had talked after that, and then I randomly ran into him at a StarCast convention. Cause like my best friend loves going to these conventions and getting autographs and stuff. So I tagged along with him to a StarCast convention that Conrad Thompson put on before it was even AEW. And they just did that like pay-per-view with the Young Bucks and Cody doing it on their own. And they did the pay-per-view here in the suburbs of Chicago. And so they had like this convention and just randomly happened to go to it. And I had met Tony Schiavone and got to like cut a promo on the set of Crockett Saturday Night, you know, with Tony Schiavone. And I was leaving that and walking down the hallway and boom, there was Jimmy Jacobs. And we just like said hello to each other. We took a photo and he posted it onto his Twitter account at the time. So this had to have been like, what, when was that? Like 2017-ish, 2018,
18,
somewhere around there. So that was like the first time we had seen each other in almost 10 years at that point. And he posted it on his Twitter and there was people like, what just happened? How did this happen? And it was, I think the guy that did the guy that does Botchamania, Matthew or whatever his name is. Yeah. He commented on it and he was like, my mind is blown. My childhood is erased. I can't believe you two took a photo together. And I thought you two hated each other. And it's like, well, just because we posed for a photo doesn't mean we're friends. And just, I'm not as inclined to want to kill him now, you know, a decade later, but yeah, getting him onto the podcast was definitely the wildest one, if I had to ask. And then just like some of the people that I just hadn't talked to in 10, 15, some of them 20 years, I hadn't seen them. And, you know, they're reaching out and, hey, can I get onto this? And some of the fans, you know, hey, any chance you'll let me tell some stories? And I was like, well, you know, we'll eventually try. At some point, I'm going to have to talk to everybody. So, you know, just be patient and wait your turn.
It's interesting that you mentioned the fans, because I'm a Minnesota guy, and okay. We obviously there was cars that went down to IWA from Minnesota, and there was a handful of fans that would travel as well to go see, though, you know what I mean, travel down to IWA to see their Minnesota guys wrestle in IWA. I never made that trip because I was like, why am I fucking driving that? You know, I'll fucking see them when they're here. But do you have any good stories? Because I'm on the independent scene up here in Minnesota. I still see some of the guys that were in, you know, that wrestled back in IWA. Any good stories about any of the Minnesota cars at all?
Geez.
Cause it was a while back now.
Yeah, it was a while back. So I just had Rain on the podcast a couple weeks ago. And like, I broke news to her. There was a conversation in the locker room one time because, you know, Lacey and Rain were like the only women on the IWA shows there for quite a while. And so, of course, the guys are sitting there talking about, oh, well, who's cuter and, you know, who's hotter between Lacey and Rain. And our referee at the time, Brent Blades, came up with like the most outlandish metaphor that we had ever heard before. And he was like, Rain is hotter than a toaster. And we had never heard that used to describe a female before, ever. And it like took on a life of its own in the locker room, and everybody just thought that was hilarious and they kept talking about it. Well, Joel Gertner was on one of the shows. And so Joel Gertner evidently laid claim to being the one that said it, because before the podcast, I was like, I had asked Rain, I was like, are you aware of the hotter than a toaster story? She's like, oh yeah, that's classic. I know that one. So we can talk about it on the podcast. Don't worry about it. And, you know, cause you're sitting there and a lot of this, you're so worried about the stuff that happened in 2002 being so crazy with the way it was back then. You're like, is this going to get canceled in 2026? You know, is this a story that can be told? And so Rain was like, I give you permission to bring up the hotter than a toaster story. So when I told her that, she was like, Joel Gertner's told me for 22 years that he was the one that came up with that. I was like, no, he was on one of the shows where it had to have been talked about and laid claim to it and took it as his own for all these years. So there was that story with Rain. I mean, I don't really have any great stories about Cannon. He was a great hand, loved having him around. He was. You know, IWA Mid-South champion for a while. He was actually the one to beat Jimmy Jacobs after the trash can incident to take the title off of him. I didn't have a whole lot of interactions with him. Yeah. I know one night I happened to be at a show with my now wife, and we would all go out to eat afterwards. And there was like one night where I had picked up the check for everybody at the restaurant after one of the shows, because there was like 20 people that in attendance. So I knew nobody got paid. So I just went ahead. And as I was leaving, I picked up everybody's check. So then like the next time we were out, I was, you know, my now wife was with me. We had just started dating. So we were at a table by ourselves off to the side, just eating, And then, like, I asked the waitress for the check, and she pointed to Eric Cannon and said, he just paid for you. So he had, like, returned the favor of me buying him. So he bought me and my wife supper one night. That's really about the only, like, cool kind of story I've got about. But Eric and Darren Corbin were great to have around, and always loved, Lacey and Rain were always great to have around. They would have great matches. And then once Mickey started training and getting onto the shows, and so they had like Mickey Knuckles, and we ended up bringing in Daisy Hayes, Mischief, Mercedes Martinez, ODB, Tracy Brooks. I mean, that really led to Shimmer, because Ian was letting Dave Prazak like bring in all these women, and he like Prazak was in control of like, okay, these are the women we're going to use. And he was booking them for the matches. And we ended up doing Volcano Girls, which was an all girls show. And, Prazak to this day will tell you that was what put the, that without that, Shimmer never happens, because he doesn't see that there's a market for that, in the Minnesota girls were a large part of that, by being able to get that groundwork going, because if they hadn't come in, there's no way that Ian would have accepted training Mickey, just with the way that he was. He never would have accepted that, and then there never would have been, the full blown women's division going on. So Lacey, Rain, they played a big part in that. So Minnesota can take a lot of credit for that.
Don't give him any credit up there. James, forever we're gonna hear about that. You talk about like 20 years later, people are nervous to tell these stories because they don't want to get canceled. Like, is every episode that you do kind of similar to like the Jimmy Jacobs one, where you don't kind of talk to them beforehand, or do you go in and be like, okay, like, what are you comfortable talking about?
I mean, it's always up to the person. There's been a couple of guys that are like, I need to know what we're going to discuss, just so they have a chance to like try to go back and look at a match or two of what we're going to talk about, so it can refresh their memory. That more so than the worried about getting canceled.
Okay.
More so worried that they're just going to sit there and go, I don't remember. And they're so afraid of that. So there's a lot of times whenever I like book somebody to be on, I'll just tell them, hey, what don't you want to talk about? So we don't have that awkward moment of you telling me that you're I'm not going to talk about that, which, I should have done when we did an Ask Me Anything that ended up going 6 hours. And so we had to split it into like three episodes, but he's on Twitter. He's like tripping balls. Wrestling?
Yeah.
He was like, I have a million questions I want to ask you. Can I do this? And I'm like, I won't shut up. So you know what you're getting yourself into. But there was like some people that he asked me about that I can't stand. So I'm like sitting there yelling, and he's going like, and afterwards he had to tell me, he's like, I had to keep telling myself, you're not yelling at me. You're yelling about the question. And, there was just so many different and I should have told him, we're not going to talk about this person. We're not going to talk about this person. We're not going to talk about this person. But he was actually the one that opened the door for Jimmy Jacobs coming on, because like the last question he asked me after 6 hours of grilling me on everything, he was like, if you were stranded in the woods and you're 20 miles from civilization and you got three flat tires and you're just stranded and out of luck, and after 3 hours of sitting there, Jimmy Jacobs is the first person that comes by in a car, are you like yanking him out of the car and you're fighting in the street? Are you accepting a ride? What's going on? And I'm like, well, in that situation, I guess I'd kind of have to accept the help and get the ride to, so I'm not just stranded out here and starved to death or something. And so when I had that answer, that was when Nick then reached out to Jimmy and was like, well, maybe we can squash this beef. And that's not the first time that that's happened on the podcast. I had Mean Mitch Page on, and that was a two-parter because we went so long, and him telling his stories and, you know, like him and Pondo had had a falling out and hadn't talked to each other in forever. I had Pondo on the podcast, and he mentioned on the podcast how much he missed being friends with Mitch and all the fun that they had. And so I brought that up to Mitch in the podcast, and Mitch was like, well, you know, there was some good times with Pondo. And I was like, well, you know, if he reached out to you, would you accept his message? Would you talk to him? And he was like, yeah, I think so. So I immediately started texting Pondo, and I was like, if you were serious about wanting to talk to Mitch, this might be your opportunity. I was like, I just got him in a nostalgic frame of mind and was telling stories. And he said that, you know, he'd be open to hearing from you. And Pondo was like, give me his number. And, and you know, they were texting. And so after that, I was like, oh, I think I deserve the next FIFA Peace Prize that's handed out for getting those two back together, you know. And then Manawa tops me by putting me and Jimmy Jacobs together. So maybe he's the one that deserves the Peace Prize now.
James, you got the big weekend Black Label Pro and Wrestling Arts Indie. And then you said every Friday the podcast drops. Who do you have coming this week?
Well, I said, hopefully it's Bull Payne. We're going to see if we get it actually recorded tomorrow night. We're going to go with that. And then if not, the scramble is on to start going through my list to see who, because it'll have to, if I don't get it recorded tomorrow, it's going to have to get recorded Wednesday. And so that Nick Manawa has time to try to edit it and put it together so that it can be ready to release on Friday. I don't know. I know how to run my mouth. That's what I know how to do. So he has to do all the tech part of it, of putting it all together and getting it posted for me. Cause I'm just an old man that can't learn new tricks with this technology stuff. But, this might be the first time since I started where we just did episode 22. So this will be episode 23, which is technically really 24 because Mitch insisted that his podcast both be numbered 13. So that was 13A and 13B. So I guess this would technically be the 24th one. Might be the first one that if we don't get it recorded with Bull tomorrow, might have to skip a week. And I don't want to do that, but, you know, real life gets in the way sometimes. I still have so much to do to get ready for this weekend that, you know, hopefully Bull will be able to get through this. Say he's not in the best of health, so I'll try not to get him too excitable and try not to ask him about the people that's going to anger him. But it should be a great episode if we get through it.
Yep. Well, I'll tell you, I'm not I don't have a lot of knowledge on the IWA Mid-South, but I'm definitely intrigued, and I'll be adding this to my podcast queue and checking out some of your other episodes beforehand because I do like the wrestling history. So I'll check that out. And you mentioned old man. So we got to ask, every single person that comes on the show. When was the last time you shit your pants?
Whew. Well, let's see. I think
putting you on the spot here.
Yeah. You know, this isn't something that I like, not a memory that's a fond one to just keep it in the Rolodex. So I think there was, I don't know. It's been a long time. I've been with my wife I've been with my wife for 20 years now. And I know at one point in that 20 years, there was an incident where, we were out in the middle of nowhere driving, and I had had too much Wendy's chili.
That'll do it.
And I pulled over and tried to go down in a ditch, and I don't think I made it in time. So it was towards the beginning of the relationship, and God bless her, she's you know, stuck by my side through that. But yeah, it's been a long time, but it's been within the last 20 years because it was with her. So
she stuck by your side but stayed in the car, right?
Yeah, she stayed in the car and then made me ride in the back seat with the windows down.
Right answer. Afterwards.
Look, there's people on the show who maybe don't, you know, they've shit their pants in the last 8 months.
Yeah.
I don't know when the last time Tony shit his pants was, so I can't. He's not here. So
I think he got through two Christmases. So,
well, James, this has been an absolute blast. Anytime you want to come back on and shoot the shit and you know, promote whatever you got going on. We've had all your social media, your YouTube, everything's across the bottom of the screen the whole time you've been on. And
yeah,
if there's some IWA Mid-South fans out there, definitely check out Fan and Flashbacks, because I mean, I was just on the YouTube channel looking through while we were talking to James, and there's a lot of, you know, American Kickboxer, Mickey Knuckles, Tarek the Great, Jimmy Jacobs. Yeah. There's a lot of great interviews on there. So it's definitely something to check out. And I'm sure the stories are hysterical.
Yeah, there's been so many good stories. And like one of the first ones, just a quick story here. American Kickboxer and Tarek the Great were on the very first IWA Mid-South show that was ever held. They were the very first match. They were not booked for the show. Ian put them on the flyer. Ian put their names on the flyer and hung it up around. They were like working OVW, and he hung it around OVW, and they saw the flyer and showed up to the show. Tarek was like, we were discussing, you know, what do we do? We're on this flyer. And he's like, well, let's show up. Evidently we're booked. And they were like, and they said it was actually Rip Rogers that called them and was like, what the fuck are you doing on this, you know, flyer for that motherfucker? And they're like, what are you even talking about? And he's like, Ian Rotten's got you on the flyer. So without him seeing the flyer, without Ian just putting them on the flyer, you know, and so then I asked Tarek, IWA was actually the very first United States federal, you know, promotion that brought Vampiro into the States outside of the state of California. He went to Bardstown, Kentucky in 1997 and wrestled Tarek the Great at a TV taping that for a show that aired like only in the Louisville market. And he was on the show. And I'm like, Tarek, how in the fuck was Ian able to get Vampiro to Bardstown, Kentucky? And we both decided he must have just put him on the flyer. And Rip Rogers saw the flyer and was like, God damn it, Vampiro, what are you doing working for this motherfucker? And, you know, so Vampiro's like, well, I guess I got to show up. So any of you guys out there, just put the guys on the flyer, and sometimes magic happens and they actually show up. So
it still happens, Jim. And it is so, so magically indie.
Yeah. James,
but yeah, there's all kinds of stories like that on there. And then, like you said, Black Label Pro has a show Friday night, managing Mickey Knuckles on that one. And then to be determined as to who joins the Fan and Family on Saturday night at Wrestle Arts Indy. Both of those are in Indianapolis. So we'll see how those go. And yeah, definitely check out the podcast. And thanks a lot for having me on. This was fun. So anytime you guys get another cancellation and need somebody, reach out and see if I'm available. I'm hard to shut up, so I can fill a lot of time for you.
I think this is the start of a beautiful friendship, James. James, yeah. Jim, what the fuck do we call you?
You know, it's, yeah, call me JJ if you want. Whatever. You know, I never went by James until I started the shoot job I've got now. And they made me go by my real name. And so that was like the first time I've ever in my entire life. It was the first time I had gone by James. And now it's, I've been there for 11 years. So it's like, oh my God, I guess now I'm so used to that. I use the work Zoom podcast account to do the podcast. So it's got the James on there. And right. So that threw Jimmy Jacobs off. He's like, when did you become James? And I'm like, oh, the shoot job makes me do the shoot name. So, I'm too lazy to switch it back and forth every time I go between a work meeting and a podcast. So,
we'll stick with JJ. Yeah.
JJ works.
Good luck this weekend, my friend, and hopefully we get to talk to you soon, man.
All righty. Take care, guys. Thanks fun a lot, time JJ. Being here. Thanks.
Thanks, JJ. See ya. Make sure you guys follow JJ on his social medias at JFannin73 on the Twitter machine, YouTube.com/@SportsFannin. If you're an IWA Mid-South fan or you're just looking to learn about the history, you can check out James.
It's always interesting to me, like IWA Mid-South in Minnesota, at least, like IWA Mid-South had like this unknown, like aura to it where you would hear like pockets of fans that would make the trip to IWA Mid-South, whether they were rarely in Iowa, usually obviously Indiana, stuff like that. But like, people would make that fucking drive.
There was a lot of crossover there too. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, Punk and Cabana and Hero and all those guys were doing Minnesota mm-hmm. and also doing Mid-American wrestling, which I think it's a different Mid-America than that's around now. And then going down and doing the Mid-South shows, they do them in the same weekend.
Right. Cause you had Steel Domain and then First, and you know what I mean? Like a lot of guys been around for a long fucking time. Like, like fuck. Old is what's happening.
I think Daniels was from Steel Domain.
Yeah.
That's old.
I work Steel Domain's last show when they closed their doors.
Wow. That's awesome.
Time is a motherfucker.
Yes, it is.
But I think, look, man, I don't watch. The only indies I really watch, I guess, are Juggalo Championship Wrestling and GCW. So I don't know what the indie scene is like. But I do know that nostalgia is huge. Like, I think I can speak for all of us. Like, I go to bed every night when I'm either watching the WWE Vault or WCW Vault. I just put on the live. I fucking cast it to the TV and I fall. Like, I'm much more inclined to watch that stuff, read about it. Like, I don't know. WWE right now for me is a chore to watch. But the old stuff, nostalgia, like that hits. So, like, you know, people who grew up during this era, tape trading, DVD trading, I guess DVDs were a thing in like 2000. Yeah, they were 2000.
Yeah. And you think of like the PWG shows and stuff like that. You look at some of those IWA Mid-South, they would run the Ted Petty tournament every year. You look at some of those, like the finals was Joe and Brian Danielson and Christopher Daniels, Punk would be in it, Eddie Kingston, like all these guys that just blew up over the years. It's like crazy to look back at some of these. Roderick Strong, just so many of these guys. Tyler Black, I mean, he's on fucking Seth Rollins on the top of the world right now.
So the first time I saw Tyler Black, there was maybe 20 some odd people in the audience. And he came out, and you remember how he came out and he just like whirl his fucking arms everywhere like a jackass? And I grilled him so fucking hard. Like, first time I see him, and he just comes out like some type of fucking drug addict, just flailing his shit everywhere. I just fucking next, bring out the next guy.
There's like a famous clip of him doing a flip off a big fat guy, like a moonsault flip. Yeah, that's from IWA Mid-South.
Was it Venom? It wasn't Venom, was it?
Venom?
The King of Throwdown?
Fan.
Oh, it was a
fan. No, it was a fan. Yeah.
Okay,
gotcha. Yeah.
Gotcha. I was going to say, King of Throwdown did a lot of stuff all over the place there for a while, but yeah. Crazy.
Yeah. All right. So you brought up Seth Rollins. I got it. What? I don't understand with all the Black Scorpions. What the fuck are we doing here? What is going on?
Wait though, Double T. Isn't that part of the fun right now? You don't know. I have no idea what the fuck they're doing. No idea what's going on. But isn't that kind of like, that's especially for us now at this age with how many years of watching wrestling? Like, to me, that's, it's kind of part of the fun. I have no idea what the fuck's going on.
You know, it seems fucking hokey. Fucking 20 dudes dressed all the same, all running in fucking zigzags in the ring. Like, fucking jerk off. Just to have this fucking asshole. I'd rather watch him fucking flail his arms in front of nobody than watch this nonsense.
You laugh when you got like three of the chubbiest bastards you can find. They can't keep up all the way. They're fucking busting out their fucking inhalers. Just... Okay, let me go again. I can run now.
They don't know what's going on either. Like, the, they don't know if Seth's going to be cleared or Bron Baker's going to be cleared. Or, yeah. I mean, are they? Obviously, he's not fighting Brock. Does, you know, anybody want to see Seth and Logan Paul again, or Seth and Austin Theory?
Well, it looks like they made Seth. They made Logan Paul and Austin Theory a tag team. They're going to go after.
Yeah, they're going to fight the Usos. Right? Tonight, they're fighting the Usos, non-title, so they're going to win.
Yeah, that's an eliminator.
Yeah.
Oh.
You love it. You love
it. But, I mean, there's no other tag teams either. New Day's hurt. War Machines in Mexico, nobody cares.
You mentioned Brock, right? We had the segment where Brock and Seth kind of have a little showdown, right? But then here comes fucking Munchkin Necklace. And he fucking smashes Brock.
Oh, great, yeah.
Great segment.
Right? And that is, I was down on WWE and WrestleMania last week, but that's a WrestleMania match I want to see.
It, wasn't it awesome to see, like, the emotion from Oba, but also, like, the emotion from Brock on the outside? Like, you could tell he was smiling because he knew he did something for Oba. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I love seeing those type things happen.
There's like a handful of guys, like Brock reminds me of like Dick Murdoch. Like if you read like old things, like if Dick Murdoch wanted to like do something, he was 100% in. Yeah. But if he wasn't like into it, he just kind of showed up and went through the motions. Like you could tell Brock wanted, like he was fun. Like you see him tell Oba, like put your foot on my chest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that's cool shit. Like that's going to be a fucking WrestleMania match. And I don't think at the end of the day it matters if Brock beats Oba.
No. No.
Right? Because Brock, by all accounts, what we're hearing is possibly him and Gunther at SummerSlam. Gunther, the guy who retired John Cena, who doesn't have a program. Do you remember him? He's on TV, right? No?
Oh, speaking of remember him, R-Truth is a tag team champion.
We got him.
Yep. Third tag team match with him and Priest. Tag team champions.
Wild.
Yeah.
It's so fucking weird.
Like, back to your point, Double T, with Oba and Brock. I think you're 100% right. I don't think it matters who wins that match. I think that if Oba comes out and it is a highly competitive contest, it'll do exactly what it needs to do for Oba, and you know Brock will still be Brock. So it's going to be fun, I think.
Yeah, and if Brock, by all accounts from what we saw last week on Raw, if Brock is into it, like Brock's going to go out there and he's going to look fucking amazing. And even if he beats Oba, I'm sure Oba's going to fucking shine, and there you go, man. Like let's put the fucking, let's strap the rocket to Oba. I want to see fucking Oba take off, man. I like him. People fucking all doing the fucking walk. Like, come on.
Is that how you do it?
Yeah.
All right. I like it.
I'll tell you what you don't do. What's that? Just fucking throw Maxine Dupree in the
No, motherfucker. We can't. And you know what? In the Discord, for you motherfuckers that aren't in the Discord, I said her progress, right? You guys forget where she was at this past Royal Rumble, with the Rumble before. Her progress, man. She is still on an upward trajectory. Still on an upward trajectory. She has gotten much, much better. Nope. Keep her.
Lock her in. Here's my problem. I don't know what her fucking character is.
Well, she's working on it.
She's been working out for 6 months.
What's the problem? Sometimes it takes longer.
Look,
shit or get off the pot.
Oh, next to your wife in the shower?
That's right. I don't have to work on that for 6 months.
Like,
depending on how much protein you ate.
They did this weird fucking thing with her and Natty, and she won the IC title, and she was like, she's an MMA fighter all of a sudden, but she's still coming out like a valley girl and high-fiving everyone. She fucking does the worst ankle lock I've ever fucking seen. She takes her fucking straps down, but then she's not an MMA fighter anymore. And then this is the big rematch with Natty on Raw, and she fucking loses clean. And I'm like, what the fuck are we doing here?
Double T, did you watch the matches that she had with Becky? She had a handful of matches with Becky there on Raw.
I think I was there when she won the IC title.
Yeah, you were.
They had she had some good matches there with Becky. She has progressed, and she'll continue to. Man, she's still, I think she's still greener than she's greener than she should be for the spot that she's in, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? Like,
send her to NXT. She bypassed NXT, right? She was never down there.
100%. Yeah.
She came up with LA Knight when they were doing the male model stuff.
I was like, we come out of Penta and Dragon Lee, like it's fucking fast and exciting, and then like there's all this other fucking bullshit during like every segment's like fucking awful, and then here's Natty and Maxine, and I'm like, oh my god. She takes her fucking straps down. She puts on the fucking worst ankle lock I've ever seen. And she still loses clean in the fucking ring. What the fuck?
You know, I think I probably like the Natty Maxine match more than I like the AJ Lee and Bailey match. Those two did not connect in that match at all. At all. It was pretty lady heavy on Monday night, too.
Nothing wrong with that.
Two of the four matches were women.
No, I think it was three. I think they got the lion's share of the
TV. Oh yeah, look at they did.
Yeah, Vicor and Rodriguez in the main event.
And Rodriguez is still just a fucking chump. She's really? Everybody was so fucking horny about her coming out of Elimination Chamber. She's a chump.
Well, there's one reason why, but you know.
Yeah, somebody got to see a flapjack.
It's a pancake. Get it right.
Get some syrup. Arriba. I like what they're doing, Americano. I don't mind that at all. I want to see where that goes. That'll be fun ultimately.
I watched whatever I watched on Raw, and didn't watch SmackDown. Is that Americano thing also taking place in Triple
A? Yes. Yes.
Yeah. That's it is
wild because in the States, fucking Americano original, right? He's the face. But down there, the second Grande Americano, he's the, you know what I mean? So the dynamic of it, depending on where they are, is insane. But I can tell you that the Grande Americano, the second, however you want to say it, in Mexico is 10 times more over than Americano original is here. But I like what they're doing. I think both of them are fucking amazing talent. And the guy, I forget their names, Rayo and the other Bayo? Two fuckers. Yeah. Rayo and Bayo, Scott Bayo, as a tag, like, I don't know. I've been very entertained by what they're doing there.
Are you watching the AAA show?
No. So I'm catching what I can from like if Americano's on. You know what I mean? Like I will see what I can see, man. But I'm all wrapped up in goddamn JCW, so I gotta make time for that and homework.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you walk like fucking 6 hours a morning. Like
that's not 6 hours. It's 10 miles. No, it doesn't take me three. But
how many hours does it take you?
Usually I get my miles done in about between 220 and 230, just depending on if I'm cutting a good clip or not. Sometimes less.
Should be easily watching all the wrestling then, man.
Yeah. Majority of the time I am. Not SmackDown, though. I still have no idea. No idea. Oh, you forgot to make the
Our girl fucking from the street team, Lisa, says AAA is an easy watch.
I've watched it. And I watched like when they do their manias. Man, I love the manias.
Triple mania?
Yeah, I thought Reyes to Rey was going to be a bigger show. I didn't realize it was just going to be the television show. Was it 2 weeks in a row?
Yeah.
So you mentioned we got new tag team champions. Also, we have a mystery phone caller who keeps calling Randall.
It's The Rock.
You think it's The Rock? No, come on. We can't.
It's The Rock.
You think it's Travis Scott?
No, I don't think it's Travis Scott.
What is he, George Scott's son?
I've seen some wild. Someone's like, it's Arn Anderson. They're going to bring Arn back to stick it to Cody.
It's George Gulas.
Someone was like Charlotte Flair.
Why would Arn stick it to Cody?
I don't know.
Cody left him?
Yeah, he left him in AEW to rot.
Yeah.
It's gonna be Dustin and Sammy Guevara.
It's gonna be Tennessee Lee.
You forgot about us.
Hey, Dustin, every interview Dustin does, he said he's there for life. So is he a retire there?
Yeah, good for him. He doesn't got much time left anyways.
No.
Let me ask you guys this. I hate to cut you off, HK.
No.
Randy Orton has a heel. He's over. Right? Mm-hmm. People are fucking chanting one more time for him to smash Matt Cardona's arm.
Yep.
I mean, how do you play this out here?
You run with it.
You're trying to create this monster fucking heel to go into WrestleMania against fucking Homelander. Like, do we just make Cody Homelander and call it a day?
I think you run with or if Orton is that over as a heel, you make him as close to like anti-hero as you possibly can, just so there's still hints of good in him. But I think you have to run with it with the way it's playing out right now.
Sorry, I was sneezing.
No, you're cool. You are so good looking.
Thanks. I got
you and God bless me.
Oh, that's Tropical's got a point. Was it a heel thing or was it a smashing Cardona thing?
Yeah, good thing he came back.
Where he wants to be.
Yeah. Yeah. His wife gets hurt instantly after he comes back.
Every time. Poor child. And she's fucking over like Rover.
Yeah, she is.
And this Jelly Roll is going to have a wrestling match?
Fuck Jelly
Against Roll. Kit Wilson.
Why? Hold on. Why fuck Jelly Roll, HK? Fuck
Jelly Roll, man. I don't know. I'm not a big fan of the celebrity like mixins. I just don't much care for it. And then
foreshadowing, maybe.
What the hell? Like, what the hell is he? Like, why is he a popular thing? I still don't understand what he does or who he is.
He sings.
He's a country guy. And he was
okay. Yep. Fuck Jelly Roll.
He was in prison, and then he came out, and he has a good voice. People like him. I don't know. I couldn't tell you a fucking single Jelly Roll song, but people.
I like him. Bro. I liked him before he turned to like country music. He had more like a kind of like a harder or like a new metal or rap feel. When I first heard him, and then it went straight country after that.
Mommy loves Jelly Roll. She told me about him all one day before we went to a Ring of Honor show, and then it was all over my phone the whole ride down to fucking Baltimore.
No Jelly Roll.
I heard through the grapevine that Jelly Roll, he's like in though. Like they trained at the PC, and then when they were done, he like fucking swept the ring and he mopped the ring like. Did all the shit that like the new kids do. He was like, no, man, I'm in. Like, I'll fucking clean up.
Yeah, he was just because he was missing the clink.
You're Mr. fucking everybody gets a second chance, but you don't like Jelly Roll's music, and now you're going to go after the poor guy.
Hey, I'm glad he turned his life around. 100% good for him. I just don't need him in my wrestling programs.
Well, it's in the name, HK. It's World Wrestling Entertainment.
Yep.
And where was the convict part?
He was choking Vince McMahon.
You're really hung up. Now, let's not.
Choking him in the pants.
I'm pretty sure Randall's got a couple pictures of himself online of mug shots.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a host
what?
Of.
What did Jelly Roll do that landed him in prison?
Drugs. You know, I'll Google it.
Right drugs.
Selling drugs? Yeah. Gosh, see, you know, doing them is one thing.
It could be doing them, selling them. I don't know. Something with drugs.
I'm glad he turned his life around 100%.
Yes. Conviction for aggravated robbery at the age of 16 and later for felony drug possession with intent to sell.
Okay. Well, I'm glad he got his life figured out and turned around. Good for him.
You don't want to see him on WrestleMania, but
I just don't want to see
it. I think it's happening. I don't want to see
him wrestle. Yeah. Yeah, I got no interest in
it. It wouldn't surprise me. Him and maybe like Danhausen, Kit Wilson, and The Miz tag team match right there.
What? Someone said Royce Keyes was the guy that they're going to stick with.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. Two people who turned their lives around.
There you go. Hey, does anyone give a shit that Jade Cargill's got a stable now?
I mean, she had a stable. It's not like it's the first stable. She had a stable in AEW. She had her baddies there. So.
Yeah, but who? I don't know. Fucking B-Fab and Mitchin?
Oh, God. What the fuck?
That she put out, ironically, what, like 4 or 5 months ago?
We don't know if they put out.
Ask Keith Lee.
Oh, she hurt them. Did Keith Lee, right? Yeah. Come here and get a piece of the Bearcats.
At least Meechan tried to explain it over Twitter. She said, you know, she shared a picture of Rhea Ripley and the Judgment Day hurting AJ. And she's like, I never forget my uncle Al getting hurt. So fuck you, Rhea. So she's trying. I mean, it's not just like, oh, I hate you. Now I like you.
She's trying. She's trying.
We're going to try and shoehorn the Bella Twins into the women's tag team title match at WrestleMania, right?
Pass.
Hold on. Where is it?
It's your WrestleMania, buddy. You're watching it, not me.
Oh, yeah, I'm watching it.
Woof, indeed.
Yeah, I started for you.
You did too?
What's up?
Ah, nothing.
We got a new member of the Hall of Fame, Rodzilla, going in. So we got Steph, Demos, Pert Plus, and Dennis Rodman.
Kim Jong-un going to induct him?
Hell yeah.
Possible, yeah. That'd be good.
Oh, who does induct him? Who do you think? Carl Malone?
I don't think so. Hogan's dead.
Bischoff?
Yeah. Savage is dead. Yeah, Bischoff, maybe.
Jay Leno?
April Bogue.
DDP. Yeah.
DDP was the first thing that came to mind, but I would not surprise me if it's somebody out of left field.
Oh, like Frank Thomas?
Lex Luger?
Carmen Electra?
No, Lex Luger's already booked.
Is Carmen Electra the one he broke his dick on? Or is that somebody else?
No, I'm going to say yes.
Okay.
Yeah, do you want me to Google it?
My Google algorithm.
Yes, please Google that.
She seems like she could break a dick.
Yeah.
That was the best face I've ever seen Brendo Fly make. Just a dick breaking battle axe.
Writing that down.
I don't know.
According to an article on Vice, he broke his dick 3 times.
Yes. 3rd time's a charm.
Julio says Billy Corgan. What's the connection there? Did he also break Rodzilla's dick, Billy Corgan?
It's possible.
I don't know.
Maybe Corgan, that's how he got that big wee sound. He broke his dick. They recorded it.
Right here in my ow.
So what's left now? We just got to put a dead person in to fill out the paint by numbers WWE Hall of Fame.
Man, you love that saying, paint by numbers.
They're so like just set in their ways. And I know you like that because you're like a fucking boring person. You do the same shit all the time.
I'm not boring. You're boring.
Maybe.
Yeah. What do you do that's so fucking exciting?
Nothing.
Thursday.
There you go.
I did go to Buffalo Wild Wings on Tuesday night to watch the World Baseball Classic.
Well, fuck me.
It was a good time. I had a great time.
Buffalo Julio Wild, says, you wild man.
Julio says those guys, I'm too old for that shit. Those guys are old friends.
Corgan and
I would have never thought of that.
He owns the NWA. There's no shot.
No.
Yeah. I will not bring in you. Unless we make it for Unreal Season 3.
A new era of Unreal.
Who's next? Who's dead to go in? Just is the Rick British Rude? Bulldog in? Oh, Rick Rude.
Yeah, Bulldog's in.
Just as the Bulldog, not the tag team?
I don't know if the tag team is, but Bulldog is because recently somebody stole the ring, but they got it back.
Right, yes.
Yeah.
Did they put Bray Wyatt in?
Oh,
not yet, right?
I don't think so.
I could see that being the tug.
Right, because they're feuding over his lamp.
Right, yeah. Gotta have
the MFTs and the Wyatt Sixes, and that's why R-Truth and Damian Priest are the tag champions.
We want R-Truth!
Hey, I gotta ask.
Yeah.
Hope you do.
Do you guys give a shit if Tom Brady says the WWE is fake?
Fuck no.
So who fucking cares?
Do you guys give a shit if Ricochet makes fun of a woman with MS?
It's a poor choice, bad judgment on that one, but I don't really give a shit.
That's one of those tweets he should have read back maybe a few times and been like, you know, I could probably make fun of this person for 15 other things other than MF or MS and just be like, oh, fuck you. You live in your mom's basement or something like that.
And I bet that he was getting ready to fire that off, and he was laughing his fucking nuts off. He's like, easy target, MS. Ha! Send MS. Ha! M. Ha! S. You know that's what the motherfucker's doing. And then he says, and all of a sudden people are like, I'm going to kill your family. Yeah. Oh, wait. Not funny anymore, guys. MS no ha. M ha no. S ha no. It's a real thing.
I just don't understand. Like, he's not a kid either, right? Ricochet's like an older guy. Like, why do you
he's
in stay off your fucking Twitter, 30s, dude? I think.
He started really young, but yeah. He's always on fucking Twitter. Fucking with people.
Yeah.
He don't care.
Well, he should.
I'm going to guess 38.
37. Good guess.
Huh. Wow.
In a row?
One by one.
Try not to suck any dick on your way to the parking lot. Hey, you get back here. Yeah, it's, look, I think it was in poor taste, but I'm more concerned with the way people reacted and, like, their. Like, we're gonna kill your wife. Like,
yeah.
Now, what the fuck did she do?
What the fuck is wrong with people? It's really look, and I could give a shit less if you hate me. It's really not that big of a deal. It was in poor taste. He shouldn't have fucking said it. He's shouldn't even be on fucking Twitter, man. Like, fucking enjoy your life. What are you doing? You get you probably get a fat paycheck for TK. You got a smoking hot wife. That she probably pew pews you all the time. Get on the fucking phone, bro.
Makes sense.
And it's like, oh, people make fun of me all day. Like, you're a fucking heel. That's your fucking character, you fucking dildo. Doesn't mean you go after people who have like real fucking problems.
Right. Well, because it's not a two-way street. And he's got to understand that. Like, you have to understand you're going to eat shit in your position. You're going to. It's the way it's going to be. And you can dish out some shit, but there is a line to your shit because you're in the public eye. There's not a line to the fucking jackoffs on Twitter. There isn't. We know that. Guess what? There's a line to you. You're a public figure. That's the way the fucking goes. Man.
Yeah. And like,
M-ha-S.
You know who's a perfect example of it? MJF. He's fucking funny. He's clever with it. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's accepted.
Right.
This, he's just being mean. He's being spiteful to be spiteful.
But he does it in such a manner that you know it's, you know what I mean? Like, he is having a great time doing it. And the people that are subjecting themselves to his shit are having a great time. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's almost like a badge of honor. I got roasted by MJF.
Yeah. They appreciate it. This guy is like a fucking, everyone thinks he's a fucking douchebag.
Yeah.
Because he comes off as a fucking douchebag.
Nailed it.
But I do think, like, I think there need, like, in wrestling, there needs to be, like, someone who, like,
Tyler Black.
Like, there needs to be somebody who, like, sees all these, like, crazy threats and, like, really looks into them, right? Because we had somebody break into fucking Liv Morgan's house, right?
Yeah. Sonya Deville. Right?
And Sonya Deville, right? People show up at the fucking airports. Like, I think it's ridiculous that people are making these threats, but I also think, like, we live in such a fucking crazy world that one of these maniacs jumped the guardrail and attacked Seth Rollins because they thought Seth Rollins duped him out of money when it was just a catfish account. Like, people are crazy. So I don't think it's unreasonable to be like, hey, let's look into this and make sure that this person doesn't find a way to find out where they live and do harm to Ricochet or his wife over a fucking tweet. Insanity. We live in a fucking insane. I told Kate the Great. I said, I don't know how you deal with this. There's times where I'm like, I wish this podcast was like highly successful. And there's other times like, I don't need some fucking weirdo showing up at my my wife will shoot you in the fucking face. Right? I don't need some weirdo.
I'd be more afraid if somebody showing up here at your house with her being home.
I don't need
more than you.
It's like, you guys, you don't need somebody coming to your fucking job because, like, you had a hot take on fucking AEW. Like, but we live in a world where people are fucking crazy like that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Insane. Get off your fucking Twitter, Ricochet.
Yeah.
I always like to, I don't know if I want to say I defend AEW, but I'm like, oh, this was a good show. Coming out of Revolution, I like Revolution. I thought it was a fine show. We did a lot of cool things. I feel like we just did an EVP storyline.
That's true. Yeah.
And we're going right back to this with Swerve Strickland. And if you read the dirt sheets and all the reports, like, I don't want to see like a Swerve faction take over AEW because we just had that with the fucking Death Riders.
Or with the Death Riders fucking doing it.
It was a weird episode of Dynamite.
It was. Yeah. I only watched about half of it. I didn't like the coffin match stuff. It didn't hit. That's what I mostly remember. But
he's going after the title now. Everybody wants to, like, I don't know. And I didn't watch any of the collision because it was like after the basketball game. I don't fucking,
I'm not staying up for that.
And I'm not for what? Fucking Robbie Eagles and Kyle Fletcher. I'm sure it was a fucking great match, but like,
yeah,
I don't really give, like,
well, you can watch, what's his fuck? Leo Rush prance around the ring like a fucking wolf or something like that, whatever the fuck he's doing.
A wolf?
I don't know. He's like running around the ring like on all fours and then diving out.
Don't like it.
No, me neither. Looks like a jackass.
Bruv is back. I'm okay with Bruv being back.
Oh yeah. More Bruv the better.
But like, and they're going right into Swerve and Omega next week.
I mean, Omega should want to get his hands on Swerve as fast as possible. He put him out for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
All right, we're getting fucking, what's Dynasty next? We're getting the Cage and Cope against FTR. We got that. So yep. I don't know. It was just a weird episode. And like, I don't know. Like, I love heel Swerve. But like, Swerve, he's going to become like the EVP. And then like, what's he going to do? That's is it going to make people wash Prince Nana's royal penis? Like, come on.
Don't threaten me with a good time.
And again, like I said, you know, before, we just did this. We just got like, I complain with the WWE about nobody being original, and it's just as bad in AEW. We just got out of the EVP storyline. We just finished this with the Young Bucks, and then we're going to go. There's potential for it to be like Swerve is now an EVP, and he's going to try and take over AEW. But we just did this with the Death Riders. Why are we repeating this? It's like every Jericho fucking faction.
Well, I mean, it is Death Riders against the world. Don't forget that.
But is it though? Like, I don't know. Until Tony Storm's hurt now.
Oh, yeah. Right. I heard the reports came out today that it's not an injury. So Juice's Rock Hard may have hit something there.
Oh, a little Prego action.
Yeah. Scrambled them eggs, huh?
Well, and that didn't make any sense. We're going to go like no holds barred match. Now Mina's going to go in it, and then like Marina Shafir loses again.
Double T. First of all, Marina Shafir, she's not good.
Marina Shafir, she's
my her too.
I don't like her at all.
Yeah, she'll fucking kill Maxine Dupri. Kill her.
I don't like her at all. Bruno Fly, brilliant. That fucking coffin match sucked balls, man.
I mean, you
alluded to it sucking balls, and you're right. All right, you're right. That fucking thing sucked balls. They go through a car crash.
Yep.
And all this other bullshit, the straight jack, everything else. And what ends the match?
Banana peel. Okay.
A simple dive to the outside that knocks him backwards into the coffin that closes the lid. Right?
Well, that's like Cody winning the tables match, kicking Big Show when he steps through a table. You win a coffin match by throwing the guy in the coffin.
The door is closed, that's how
you win.
You go through all that other bullshit, and I don't know about that Gabe. I'm not sure about that Gabe Kidd.
I'm a big fucking Gabe Kidd guy. I hate that he constantly loses.
Mike Bailey. Yeah, Mike Bailey and Mark Davis. I don't ever need to see either one of them. Ever. Either one of them. Not a fan. How many times do I need to see fucking Speedball Bailey do a backflip and land on his knees? How many times do I fuck? Jesus Christ. Get it away from me.
I love Gabe Kidd.
Huh.
I do love Gabe Kidd.
I like Speedball, but him and Mark Davis was a weird, like, it was just weird. They just had matches at the pay-per-view. Like, let's refresh, restart. Give me something different.
You get this Blake Christian. Never been a fan of him. Osprey comes back and has this big return as this Blake Christian. Now, I like Mina Shirakawa. I'll take some Mina. But
why? You want to watch her scissor me Xerxes? That's why.
Maybe. And then the fucking Young Bucks. Like, they're not for me. I don't know. I was excited. I told you guys this after the pay-per-view. I was excited to see what happened on Dynamite, where it was going. And they didn't do anything to really, you know, my whistle's getting dry, man. You got to wet that whistle, and they ain't wetting my whistle.
So
it is.
I'll tell you what wet my whistle. Fucking Mickey Knuckles and Nick Nemeth, baby.
Fuck yeah.
But I am like,
the show's starting to get roosy. It's getting roosy.
No, it's getting roosy. It's starting to become like a chore. And I'm like, I think I'm with Tony. I like the Disco Ray stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he loves sticking his face in her ass, Disco Ray. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And then he beat fucking Mecha Wolf. I like Alice Crowley, Danny Moe, the J-Rod, Sophia Rose. I like the idea, but, like, whoever gets the pinfall is the number one contender. Like, then why wouldn't they? Just make it a fucking four-way. Yeah. Like, every week it's like, this match is weapons legals. Next week, no weapons are allowed. It's like, God damn it, Vince. Like, can we just be a little fucking creative or do something different or just have a fucking one of these girls beat a jobber?
It's overbooked, convoluted bullshit. That's rough, man. It's rough. And I'm watching. I'm watching. And when they announced the tag team match, and all of a sudden whoever gets the pinfall is the number one contender, I'm losing my fucking mind. Right? Let them go in a four-way. Just let them go in a four-way. Get the pinfall. It's ridiculous. It's suicide versus facade. Facade's cheating all the time. I don't give a shit about facade cheating all the time. That doesn't mean shit to me. Disco Ray, I tell you what, I'm out on the ring rat.
Ow.
I'm out on the ring rat. And I'm out on Mickey Knuckles. They're the same fucking character. Yes. Each of them just wants to get nailed. Great creativity.
What is your qualm with the ring rat?
I don't know. There's something that's not clicking for me there. She might look like a Muppet.
You're not going to fuck a Muppet?
I'm not going to fuck a Muppet.
So your thing is more cosmetic. It's not necessarily the character, or is it all the above?
I think it's all the above, man. I don't know what she enhances. Like, even in that, like, so she gets in the ring. Ref doesn't do fucking anything. She stays in the room.
It's fucking Juggalo Championship Wrestling, Kev.
And then she, Mecha Wolf's going to go off the ropes in that spot. She's completely out of position. How are you completely out of position? It fucking blows my mind. Stand in the middle of the ring. He's going to turn around and hit the ropes. She's still in a fucking corner. So when he turns around to run, he stops and walks to her. It's bad.
It's Juggalo Championship Wrestling. It's not supposed to be good.
I like J-Rod. Yeah. But that match was rough, too.
What's your beef with Mickey Knuckles?
Mickey Knuckles has the same exact character as fucking the Ring Rat does.
The Ring Rat's not grabbing dick.
No, it's way too much. Way too much. Yeah,
I don't think it's enough. She should be grabbing the wreck. She's got two hands.
Yeah.
Grab the ref, grab Dolph.
Yeah. No, it's too much.
Yeah,
it's too much.
And how dare Big Vito fucking eat?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Big Vito.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm the one that's going to bring this up. But why is there fucking children in the audience? Is this not a fucking 21 plus situation? Parents bringing these kids are you winning fucking parent of the year situation? Like, this is not a kid friendly show.
The Attitude Era wasn't kid friendly, and my parents had fucking 10 of us in the house watching every week. Just 14 year old kids with hard ons running around.
They weren't sure. Whoa, take it easy, Buck. But
hopefully not falling off cliff. Jeez.
That's what was going on in the Attitude Era. Give a shit.
It's a little different. Attitude Era is a little different.
The moral fucking. You hate kids anyway. Why do you give a shit?
Yeah, I know. I fucking hate them. They're the worst. But they should. You shouldn't be bringing your kid to JCW.
Why not?
Double T.
Yeah. What?
Double T.
Would you rather have him sit home and watch fucking his peers eat Tide Pods and then go to his friend's house and eat a Tide Pod?
Are those the only options? Tide Pods or Juggalo Championship Wrestling?
These kids fucking brain rot. They just fucking look at fucking social media all day. At least he got them out of the house to do something. Saw the Ring Rat. Saw Violent J. Heard fucking Big Vito talk about the Faygo juice. Come on.
Get a shot from old Sawed-Off Tony. Oh, sorry. Too tough.
Too tough, Tony. Yeah, nah. He makes sure you have your 21 and older. Bracelet on?
There's no bracelets.
Yes, there are.
There's no
bracelets. Yeah, he looks.
There's no bracelets.
Sure, got the wrist.
I asked him, or somebody asked him while he was on the show. He said he eyeballs it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure everybody fucking Sandman ever poured drinks down were 21 plus too.
That was a couple years ago, Brundle Fly. Also, the fucking promo at the end with Vince Russo being like, it feels like it's Bash at the Beach in 2000, so I'm going to start this off. Fucking guy. I'm tired of Vince Russo. I am not going to stop watching, though. I'm not going to stop watching. I'm committed.
It's a chore.
Hate watch Kevin.
A little bit. I'm committed now, man. It's like I can't not watch it. That's the problem. I can't not watch what's going on in JCW.
I didn't watch the show last night, the live show. I didn't see that.
What the fuck was it called?
I don't know. All I know is Veda Scott wasn't on it, and I wish I'd watched it because she's fucking horrendous.
Yeah. Wow.
Wow. Wow.
Will Mercier said it was like night and day. It was so much better.
He hit the concrete here at the, and she just stopped. I was like, here at the where? Do you even fucking know where you are, Veda Scott?
Oh no.
Also, Rundle, you mentioned the Sandman. Did you see he got attacked by the Invisible Man today?
I did. I saw that right before we came on.
Fucking brilliant.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fucking brilliant.
I love every second of that.
So do I. I can't. That might be the only thing I watch WrestleMania weekend. The Sandman against the Invisible Man. The fucking devil's over there. What are you doing?
Oh, I fucking hit a button and the thing happened on my phone. Hold on, I don't know.
Vince Russo was like, "You pick two guys. Vito picks two guys. If you win, you get your 1%. If he wins, he gets my 1%, and your 49%. Why do I need a fucking abacus for this? Just fucking, god damn it, stop it."
He's got to explain the ratings some more.
Oh, you know what? I was against you talking about it, but now, like, I watch it. The ratings. There's no fucking ratings, you fucking retard.
What I fucking saying, man?
It's really getting on my nerves. Yeah. Has JCW jumped the shark?
It's what Vince Russo does. He can start a story, it gets you interested, and then he drives it off a cliff and into a fucking bunch of other cars that explode. And what a fucking swerve, bro.
If it's near a cliff, you better hope Double T's not there to save you.
I ain't saving that. They don't even explain why fucking Big Vito was catatonic last week after Mickey Knuckles ate the banana.
Butterfly, you got anything on that?
The fucking zombies are doing cocaine. We got to talk to Barnabas next week about the zombies doing cocaine now.
We'll see.
Look. Barnabas is the only guest who had to cancel on us, and then he rescheduled on his own accord.
All right.
Brooke Havoc didn't do that. Rob Shit didn't do that. The fucking list goes on and on.
Yeah.
I get Barnabas is in. I don't give a shit if he comes on here and talks about the fucking killer clowns from
outer space. Jimmy Corderas did too. He had a cancellation. And he said, just give me another date.
Yeah. Sam Stackhouse had a fucking tornado.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, fuck. We got to talk about that tonight, too.
I was segueing there.
Yes.
Fuck
yeah.
If you are, please, and I hope you're following us on X, Twitter, whatever the fuck it's called. We're doing the greatest guest tournament of 2025. And the first round results are in. And Tony, to quote Tony, he said, "Do all of our fans hate us?" And I think he was hurt by the Mighty Maccabee.
Oh, we got graphics put up there, Double T.
Oh, I got graphics in there, bro.
All right. Let me put up
second round graphics.
I have it in front of me if you want me to read it off real quick.
Yeah, tell us I don't have the first round results, but Brundlefly's gonna hit us with that.
I got it. We had Becca defeat Eric Stevens 67% to 33. Horrible. Then we had Vincent.
No, hold on. I'm sorry. What? How is that? Her interview was fantastic. I know you hated it, Handsome Kevin.
Bathrika. But she was
a great guest. We made it work. We made chicken salad out of chicken shit. I got up and danced. She was looking at the ceiling, her cats. But we played it off so well.
All right. I'll give it to you.
And I loved Eric Stevens. I'll give it to you. I voted.
Yeah,
I voted
Eric Stevens was fun. Yeah. We had Vincent defeat Bay Ragney
75-25. It was on the show for 7 minutes.
What happened?
Vincent was on the show for 7 minutes during
the end. And Kayla Sparks talked for 6 of those minutes.
That's why she got her fucking tits kicked in.
Yep. Next, Dan Barry annihilates Bull Buchanan 89-11.
Yeah, Dan Barry put it out there on the Twitter. Help me beat fucking Bull Buchanan.
We got Gary J over your guy, Bo James, 68-32.
I was a little disappointed in that.
Yeah. Juice Springsteen over Tony Stetson, 79-21. The TWA guys didn't do so good.
No, I don't think they had social media.
Probably not. Speaking of which, Gringo Loco over Glenn Osborne. He creamed him as well, 84-16.
Oof.
Handjump Kyle over Brian Solomon. That what? Matchup was close until Kyle put it out there.
Yeah.
At 65-35.
And after the polls were out there, I DM'd all these guys, hey, we're doing something fun. Like, get your fans involved. It ain't my fault if you lost.
The next guy did Sam Stackhouse over Mighty Maccabee, 76-24. And Sam, I remember saying, like, I don't know what this is, but vote for me.
Yeah, it's like fucking 1940s fucking Germany all over again for Maccabee.
Oh, jeez. Maybe you should have thought about that, Ricochet, before you put that out
there. Yeah. Tony was real mad about that. But, I mean, yeah. Tony couldn't. You know, he couldn't create so many fake Twitter accounts to vote for it. So
then we got Sexy Eddie over Gino Kotz. What a matchup.
I like that.
67-32. The Macho Manitoban.
Yes.
Over Chris Tara, 68-32.
Yes.
We got Dr. Redacted defeating Tommy Trainwreck, 57-43. And I feel like that's the one matchup that probably actually happened, too.
Yeah,
out of all these,
yeah. And I feel like Tommy Trainwreck is not the deathmatch community isn't a big fan of him recently.
Yeah,
right?
Recently. Something happened, and yeah, I'll talk to my buddy Motzbach.
All right, yeah. Next one, I'm worried about this one.
Kate the Great over Shane Mercer, 68-32.
Not Mr. Shane. Personality.
Shane got Shane immediately put it out there. Vote for me.
Yeah.
I didn't have to send them anything, but Kate, she got them Fightful simps. So,
yeah. That might have been the most votes, too, that matchup.
She put out three words, huh? Vote for me, and didn't pull it off, huh?
It's more than most people did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Didn't do anything.
Jimmy Jacobs over Joel Gertner or Joel Goodhart. 76-24. And the closest matchup. MLJ defeats the Yeti, 52-48, like by one vote, I think.
Not a big fan, huh, HK?
Yeah. Dave Penzer defeats Kayla Sparks, 53-47. And then Alec Price over Jimmy Corderas, 58-42.
So we're up to the Sweet 16. You'll get two matches Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and you can vote. And the matchups are as followed. I believe I put them in order. I hope. Are you bringing them up?
You want me to bring them up?
Oh, yeah. I thought you were going to bring them up. You took the gimmick down. I don't want to. There we go. First round matchup Tuesday, Becca and Vincent. Look out, people. The winner of that goes to the Elite Eight and faces the winner of the next matchup. Kerry J and Dan Barry. What a bunch of white people. Gary J, Dan Barry, that's your Tuesday matchups on to Wednesday. We will see Juicy Juice against Gringo Loco. Look out. And the winner of that faces whom? Apron Bump and
Sam Stackhouse. Sam
Stackhouse. Ooh, that's a tough one.
There, I love Apron Sam Bump. Stackhouse right now, too, because he put fucking Marco Stunt on his head.
Yeah, but wasn't he just feuding with fucking Fuego?
He was, but he beat up Marco Stunt, so, you know, I don't care.
So those are Wednesday matchups. Thursday, Macho Manitoban.
What a matchup.
That shouldn't happen until to the championship.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one.
Yikes.
This was the draw.
This was the draw.
Now what, Kate, Dr. Redacted?
Yeah. Who gives a shit? What's the next one?
Friday, MLJ, Jimmy Jacobs.
Jimmy.
And Alec Price and David Penzer rounds out Friday. So go on our Twitter at Wizards Podcast and you can vote. Each poll lasts 2 days. So tell your fucking friends, man. Get out there, vote. Have some fun.
Shit. Yeah, vote for the Macho Manitoban.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, that's who we're pulling for, you guys?
Oh, yeah. It might be my favorite guest ever.
All right. I like that. Brenda, you had a blind ranking. I had a blind. Do you guys want to do blind ranking or just homework? I know it's a little after 9 o'clock.
I got a quick one if you guys want to do it. If not, I could save it for next week.
Double T.
You know, I'm a night owl. You know, I got many things.
Oh, yeah, you're going to be up for another 4 hours. I was already sound asleep last night by this time.
Okay, so we can just go to homework if you want. We can do blind ranking next week. It's just going to be the three of us again next week.
Oh, yeah, save it for next week then.
Save it for later.
Yeah, save for later. Great pull, Brundlefly.
Then it's on to homework we go.
On to homework.
I was kind enough. So I am reading, and this is why I picked this match. I'm reading Titan Shrinking. It's a book about 1995 in the WWF and how fresh off of the steroid trial, how Vince has kind of changed over the whole rooster. What are you laughing about?
Titan Shrinking.
That's what it's called.
Ah, that was about me in the pool. But anyways.
Nobody's catching you after that.
That pedophile.
So, Buck showed up during the interview. I don't know.
I noticed.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, he did. Reading this book, and it kind of, you know, goes through WrestleMania 11, how it was a fucking disaster. Yeah.
Fuck.
And then it was like, you know, it kind of went through like Bam Bam was very hesitant to work with LT, and he was pretty like, hey, if you fuck around, I'm gonna fuck you up. And LT like put in the fucking time to train, and I was like, you know what? I know people hated this match, but I kind of want to go back and watch it. And it was my turn to do homework instead of doing some fucking 60-minute Iron Man match or some gory death match. I figured let's get in the spirit of WrestleMania season, go back to WrestleMania 11, which, if you noticed on Netflix, clocked in at a whopping 2 hours and 29 minutes.
I think it's because they also cut out Salt and Pepper's 10-minute song.
Yep.
Yeah, but still, like, you start at, like, the last, like, you get to WrestleMania 21, it's almost, like, 4 hours.
Well, yeah. Well, it had to be at this point because of pay-per-view. Like, you couldn't go over. If you went over, you're cut off.
Yeah.
SWCW.
You are cut off.
Yeah.
But we watched Bam Bam and LT. Yeah, I was a little annoyed that I didn't get to see the What a Man performance.
Yeah. Bam Bam, you're going to get slammed.
Yeah, because there was no, because he came out and he scared him, and then he must have taken umbrage to what they said about him, and I was like, I didn't hear the song though. Also weird to have Vince McMahon introduce both teams.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It was weird to see the Million Dollar Team guys all jogging out there, like Nikolai and like. Even DiBiase himself, it's like,
fucking King Kong Bundy got a fucking running start. Holy shit!
I got so many problems with this matches, but that is one of them. Of where they're treated like it's a goddamn, like, they're two sports teams running out there with introductions when it's a match between just Bam Bam and fucking LT. God, bothered me. Why are you introducing teams? There's no fucking reason for it.
Well, they were each other's backups, LTs and Bam.
So leave them in the back.
Come on, Vince. Yeah. Vince is struggling mightily. Right, business is down. WrestleMania 11, arguably one of the worst WrestleManias ever. He's looking to get some of that fucking PR, man. Get all these NFL players involved.
Yeah, but and it went on last too.
Yeah,
bad spot.
You know, this is the first pay-per-view for WWF I ever ordered also.
Really?
WrestleMania 11.
Bad order.
I remember the opening match because I also...
Allied Powers and the Blues Brothers.
This was like, we ordered it And I remember watching it, but we ordered it specifically for LT Bam Bam.
Yeah. That's how I can convince my parents to get it.
And for some strange reason, I watched it all the time.
Because it's not like you can go back and watch, you know, 50 other things. You probably recorded it. And yes. Yeah, it's not like you could be like, oh, I'm going to watch Starcade today or Mid-South tomorrow. No, you had like these ones.
Yeah, I was pretty hip to recording things off of the pay-per-view, though. We had WrestleMania 4. I always watched that on my sick days. We had SummerSlam 89, WrestleMania 11, the King of the Ring from this year, too.
Woof, jeez.
Yeah.
Wait, you guys didn't get to do the double VCR gimmick? You guys didn't do that?
Oh, no.
No, I didn't have that.
All right.
I just had the one to record. I had Buried Alive was the one I had, the Undertaker Mankind. That's I watched over and over again.
I think you know me pretty well. What do you think 13-year-old Matt was like with technology?
about as good as Double T today with technology.
Connecting two fucking VCRs. What are you out of your fucking mind?
It's three fucking cords.
Again.
You make fun of me for not being able to handle tech.
Yes. 13-year-old Matt could never figure that out.
Oh, man, it's beautiful. They used to go rent the tape, record it.
Yeah, I get it.
But you could put two pay-per-views on a blank VHS.
Yeah, six-hour VHS.
It's beautiful. Yeah. It's
beautiful. You could also put WrestleMania 4 and RoboCop on one.
That was
on my VHS tape.
You could throw WrestleMania 11 and hope that the LT match got cut out.
No, come on.
HK, there was something I wanted to see if you recognized.
Yeah.
Did you notice the Tron mm-hmm. they were using when Steve McMichaels got introduced, his background?
No.
They had him as a Packer.
Oh, for the 4 minutes he was?
Was he a Packer?
Yeah.
I didn't even realize. I thought they were just fucking with him. Yeah, because he was a bear and he's like diehard bear or whatever.
Yeah, Jim McMahon was too.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I assume that's like Reggie White like fucking with him or something like that. Or
No.
Maybe that's why he went to WCW.
So I can appreciate the attempt and I can appreciate that LT, you know, from all accounts, put in the time. I can appreciate those things. It's just not a good spot for the match. I
appreciate Tropical, by the way.
And depends on what it was for. And then, like, just watching it, it's just. I understand he's green, but like, it doesn't seem like LT's listening either in the ring because you can clearly, like, hear and see Bam Bam telling LT what to do, and he's just not fucking listening. Like, that, those are things that aggravate. Like, he's telling him, slow down, stop, like, let me beat the piss out of you. So when you make your comeback, there's actually some, but LT's not doing that shit. And if I see him throw one more goddamn forearm, I'm gonna punch myself with the goddamn nuts.
It's some great forearms for that match.
I know, that's why it's why is he in the main event? He's not a wrestler.
Because he's LT. He's a big fucking celebrity.
Oh, blow me.
At that point, he was.
Nah.
He's a bigger star than anybody else on the fucking show.
Yeah, what? He was.
You watch yourself.
It's not like it. No, it's not like they have Hulk Hogan.
Bob Backlund's on the card.
Stop.
Rowdy Roddy Piper's on the card.
Stop.
It's 10 fucking years after Piper
you think
was in They Live.
You think that LT sent like Blow and Hookers to Bam Bam's dressing room the night before?
No, because he used them all up.
I use himself. Gotcha. Yeah, I don't know, man. And then that fucking the worst power bomb ever.
Oh my god, that was a power. You call that a power bomb?
That's what I'm saying.
That was a slip. I know that's commentary called it, but woof.
Yeah, and then the devolution of his leg lock on Bam Bam. Go eat a shit. Eat a shit, LT.
Apron bump. LT Bam Bam was by far match of the night. No. Papa Strunza showed up. HK hates wrestling. This was awesome, except for the Boston crowd.
What was better than this on that card? Shawn Michaels Diesel was maybe the only other thing.
Okay, I like that. That was good. That was good.
That was, oh, wasn't that it was fine, but it was finish. A lot of laying around.
Definitely was not. It was not the tag match to open. That's for sure. That was probably the worst match.
It wasn't Brett and Bob. Sorry, I love Brett. I love Bob Backlund. That was just not good.
It wasn't. No, it wasn't the best.
Wasn't Razor against the Roadie and Jeff Jarrett.
I didn't mind. I don't mind that match. Yeah, I wouldn't give this one the match of the night. That's for sure.
You would.
I would not. Wouldn't. Would. Wouldn't. Wouldn't. Gotcha. Would. Gotcha. Yeah. Wouldn't. Yeah. For sure.
That's fair.
I enjoyed it for what it was. You know, I didn't think it was going to be a fucking be all end all greatest WrestleMania match. But LT, I thought he did fine. He didn't look like a wrestler, and that made sense to me. Even now, like, just fucking flailing around, throwing fucking errant forearms, jumping in the air like a fucking weirdo.
You fucking moron.
He's not a wrestler. He's a fucking football player.
Right.
He
right.
didn't but even gotta... do the, you know what he didn't do? He didn't do the fucking, whatever McMichaels did or whatever.
3-point stand?
Yeah, the 3-point stance. Yeah.
Should have.
Hacksaw Should've. Style. Yeah. Hacksaw. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, look, for a WrestleMania main event, it's pretty fucking terrible.
It's the fucking worst WrestleMania event.
I don't know. I thought LT was super fucking when he jumped over the fucking top rope and landed on the outside. How dare you get in fucking 1 cent Nikolai Volkov's face?
Yeah, it's true. Golly, another thing too. Like, you have fucking Papa Strunge. His forearms were not awesome. He's shit. You have goddamn. This giant send off with Big Daddy and after he beats HBK and all the celebrities are in the ring and all that, you get fireworks and all that shit. And like, it seems like that's the end of the night. And then Sean and Big Daddy have a pretty damn decent match. And then you parade all these motherfuckers out there. Like, yes. it's all flat to me. It was flat.
Were you excited for Ricky Jackson?
No, I wasn't.
And Norton?
A little bit, Ken Norton. A little bit.
Carl Banks on the Browns.
Old Banksy. It just there was a lot that was missing here for me. Yeah.
I don't know. I thought Bam Bam made a pretty decent match with a professional football player. Watchable.
Bam Bam did, yes, and that's one. excuse me. Fuck. That's one thing that I hate. Like, LT's not listening to Bam Bam. And then Bam Bam, like, this led to his face turn, which wasn't even a fucking face turn. It was just a bad guy getting kicked out of a bad guy stable.
He's gone by July, I think.
Right. Yeah.
Or maybe a little later. After he loses a gold dust. So.
Yeah. Sucks.
Yeah, it's fucking 1995. Fucking WWF. It was terrible.
Wait, no, fuck this. Vince was announcing them like they do for the starting lines in the NFL. It even had the old Monday Night Football theme. Kevin hates wrestling. That's football. That's not right. That's football over here and wrestling over here.
God, yeah, and the worlds collide.
Nah, I don't need the worlds colliding. All right. It did. What is this, a fucking Power Man 5000 concert? No.
Yeah.
All right. I don't need worlds colliding.
They did, though. WrestleMania 11, they collided hard as fuck. And at WrestleMania 42, Jelly Roll is going to collide with fucking wrestling.
My hand's about to collide with my nuts.
All right.
Maybe your wife should.
Yeah, it's a team of football players, you ghoul. He's right. They're a team.
You're a ghoul.
You're a ghoul, Tony. A gobble ghoul.
Thank you. I was hoping something.
A gobble that ghoul.
Fucking double D. Nailed the setup.
Well, look, I enjoyed it, man. I enjoyed it. The fucking, you know, the finish was a little. I mean, what are you gonna? You're not gonna let fucking LT fucking like power slam you or anything, are you?
Oh no, just power bomb.
Power bomb.
Yeah. It was a power bomb. Stop calling it a power bomb.
It was a power bomb.
It was. Vince that was the whole. Oh, I learned that from Diesel.
Right. That was he was training with Diesel.
What a maneuver. We get it. Vince was no wrestling holds. It was my homework. I'm giving a thumbs up. What say you guys? HK thumbs. I don't know why this even matters because
it's right in the middle.
We got to keep the streak alive for Tony. Brundo, fucking heat is on, buddy.
Thumbs in the middle. Sorry.
Oh, all right.
It just felt disjointed the whole time.
Yeah. Fair enough. Fair enough. LT gets the big win, the big send off. The fucking DiBiase is embarrassed. He kicks fucking Bam Bam out of the family.
Yeah. I think it was like two Monday Night Raws later. He loses the Diesel and he gets kicked out officially.
Horrible. Yeah. All right, Brundo. I guess we got a new streak to start.
All right. So I had a bunch of matches in the hole to do, but I figured I would go with something I found from a wrestler that passed away this week. So the world lost Dennis Condrey this week. So I decided to throw him in the YouTube, and I came up with from June 8th, 1984, UWF, Bobby Eaton, Dennis Condrey, and Ernie Ladd against the Rock and Roll Express and Jim Duggan. I have not watched it, but I can't imagine with all this talent in the ring, it won't be fucking great, or it will be great.
Sometimes you get surprised. Yeah.
So go back to those UWF crowds, and they were always rocking, so I'm excited.
Bro, why do you get aggravated? Just watch wrestling and have fun.
That's the plan, Tony. I like it.
It's on the YouTube. I'll shoot it off.
How long is the match?
26 minutes. But I have a feeling a lot of that's like Jim Cornette fucking around in the beginning or whatnot.
This guy walks for 2.5 hours every morning. God forbid you cut in 26 minutes of his what?
Yeah, I'm sure there's plenty of 5-minute Bob Backlund matches out there.
Like, did you even, let me ask you this, Hansel Kevin, you even open the fucking Bob Backlund DVDs Tony got you yet?
I haven't got my goddamn DVD player hooked up.
What have you been fucking doing for 3 months?
Dying.
That's 3 weeks.
How hard is it for you to hook up your DVD player? You can hook up two fucking VCRs to each other.
It's a different technology.
Is it?
Is it though?
Is yes, it really? It's a much newer technology.
It's a fucking plug.
I'll show you.
Are you colorblind? Can you not tell yellow, green, red?
Because
I'm colorblind and I fucking can.
Nah, you can't.
Man. Yes, I can.
Tony bought you like hours upon hours.
I know, and I'm excited to watch them. I got the Power of Glory, and the other ones you sent too.
Oh, you didn't even watch those this fucking
I can't get up. I got no DVD player. I got to hook the DVD player up. And with that, we cue the music.
I got to put that stupid thing in here. All right, yeah. We're back next week. The three of us know Tony. Tony's going to be on vacation. Barnabas the Bazaar. From Juggalo Championship Wrestling will be joining us, so we'll be talking about cocaine and the outbreak and fucking carnivals, I guess. I don't know. Oh, easy, Nelly, easy. Nelly's very. I moved all the furniture downstairs. She's very excited for what's happening here in the house. A lot going on. All right, take down the things. I'll put the thing up.
Okay, I'll take some things down.
Yeah, there it is. Please, please, and thank you.
The Shining.
God, I hate.
There's no way you're hooking up too good.
Calm. And don't forget to listen to all the great shows of the Shining Wizards Network.
We'd like to thank those that support us over at our Patreon. Patreon.com/wizardspodcast. Manny Crosso, executive producer. Producer Pete Hensler, High Five Tom, Ryan Strong, Al Fink, Jesse Hummer, Michael Hammond, Chief Mark, David Henry, Howard III, Jesse Elwell, Emily Brock, and I, Drunk Mystic. Thank you all for continued support. Shout out to the Wizard Street team at Wizard Street. Go follow this is some great work over there.
I miss you, Tony.
I don't.
Good night, Diana.
Oh, my God. You didn't do the thing, bro.
Good night, Diana.
What is that?
I think you killed Scrooge? Him.
Scrooge the duck.
Good night, Diana. Good night.
Good night.